Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Yes, sir. Monday, 6:03. And welcome to the program. It's Boomer here in the iconic downtown studios, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Sitting at home, Ryan Pinder. Good morning, Ryan.
Hello, Dean. How are you?
I'm okay. Kind of liking days off. Have you noticed?
Yeah. I sat down to Sunday dinner and said, "Why does this feel like a Saturday? This is a ripoff."
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time we start using all those days off. At least so says our boss since January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're making my life very difficult because you guys won't take any time off.
It's like, cool, man. You just let me know if we have a quarantine to come back to. I'll let you know if I'm taking those days.
Although it's looking all right, right?
Things are looking great.
Things
have looked other ways and things have changed. Until that happens, are you going to really book a trip?
Because I've been dying to get to Brooks for weeks now.
Breathe it in. Go to Brooks. That's what they say.
Brooks, hang out, enjoy the beauty and the pageantry of Brooks, Alberta.
And the come sense back. Of but, commerce.
Yeah. But man, if I got to sit at home for 2 weeks after getting my my Brooks on, hardly worth it. Feels like it's hardly worth it. Now, Riley's hung over this morning. He went out and got all slow pitchy drunk yesterday.
Sun drunk and
liquor.
These are going to start stacking up on him. If he's playing slow pitch and the Habs are playing, and it's like...
Well, here's the thing, Ryan, I learned in the 5:30. He's got slow pitch, and the Habs are playing, but they're going to win in four, so that'll be the good thing there. He won't have too much time tied up in watching the Habs. Just four nights there, and then eight nights remaining for him until they lift the cup. So anyway, he's also got a couple nights a week where he plays in a men's league. He's a member of the Swamp Donkeys.
Yes, I was a member of the Swamp Donkeys at the University of Lethbridge, the undefeated floor hockey team of 2003, Dean.
Seems like it's a popular team.
Well, we were the trendsetters, but, I guess 18 years later, people are still talking about us, the undefeated run.
So Riley is traveling out to Airdrie to get his...
Airdrie?
To get on the field and be a part of the legendary Swamp Donkery. So I'm not sure what kind of performance we're going to be getting out of Riley moving forward.
I feel like it's a good start. I mean, he's already got an anecdote for us at 6:06 without even saying a word yet. So, on the Pinder scale of entertainment, he's doing quite well.
Got sunburnt. They have new jerseys. And so he has a neck sunburn today.
My kid wore a tank top yesterday, and we did like 3 hours at the skate park, and got the arms, got the ears, got the cheekbones, was very impressed with my work. And then last night, just a huge red, like three quarters of a circle where they're from the neck down. I'm like, no. And what? It's like, he's burnt to a crisp. And I'm like, oh boy, this isn't good.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you what. That's one thing, Riley. You'll learn this as you mature and you become, I'm sure get married at some point, have children of your own. There is nothing.
Don't do it.
Once you have children, there is nothing more important, or that will take the place of making sure that you have put sunscreen on your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah, so much so that there is a bin in the main floor washroom that only holds sunscreen, about 15 different varieties, sizes, colors, strength, spray-on, rub-on, athletic, waterproof. They're all there. It's a bin.
Yeah, we have a, I'll call ours kind of a basket. It's a wire basket kind of a deal.
There you go. Yeah.
And same thing. We've got sprays and lotions and SPF this and that, waterproof. No, are you going to the lake? Okay, we'll use the one that, okay, good, do this. So get ready, Riley. And also get ready to spend a silly amount of money on it.
Sure, yes.
Because they're not giving those away, I don't suppose. And we have about 46 bottles of it.
Yeah, the other thing I've noticed is when I go to apply some to my neck or ears, I get this look like, that's for the kids.
It's for the kids. What are you doing?
I was like, this is one little squirt, and my skin can burn too. Am I okay to just...
Yeah.
No? Okay. So then I'll go back into the home and shuffle through an old drawer for 20 minutes and try to find my... Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's in the summertime, it's sunscreen, then water... And then really anything else, like maybe a snack, I guess.
Crossing the street's a big one at this age.
Yeah.
But you're probably through that.
Yeah. But apparently, Riley, you're still the one that needs to have sunscreen applied for him.
Maybe his mommy should come out and take care of him still.
Do you need someone to help you apply your sunscreen?
Maybe.
To remind you about it?
I mean, it was 10 in the morning. I didn't think it was going to be a big deal.
Hey, Riley, where are you going? Okay, well, just a sec, because we got to get on your sunscreen. Did you put on sunscreen? Where's the sunscreen? Did you
get
use the spray?
Get back here, big boy.
Did you
You're
use
not
the
allowed
spray?
To leave yet.
Well, but here, take a bag with a water bottle, and you know, just take some with you and put some on partway, because if you're going in and out of the water, it's going to come off, so you're going to need more. Like, that's ever worked. What kid has gone out with his buddies or his friends or her friends? And has taken extra sunscreen and then, hey guys, we're having the best time ever. It's Sunday afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. We're having a blast. Time out.
Time out.
I got to reapply my sunscreen because mom said. I feel like it's maybe not as the coverage is not what it was three or 4 hours ago. So just hold off because I'm going to go over here.
Guys. Yeah, it's hot.
Hey, can you come and help me? I'll spurt some into the palm of your hand. Can you get the back of my neck and my back just because mom said I need sunscreen? Because that happens.
We had to upgrade the water bottle size, Dean. 1.2 liters, these little...
Is that right?
Little fish can swim through now. Holy.
Well, you got to stay hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated.
Yeah, you got to. You really do.
The skate park, front yard baseball... and sticks and pucks with dad and uncle on the rink combo yesterday. It's a lot.
So what are you doing at the skate park? What's happening there?
They got scooters. I got a big blanket and...
Because they're little yet. They're not doing a half pipe.
They're doing everything almost.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're not really spinning and doing tricks, but they're bombing everything.
Nice.
I just go set up with a chair. Music and or sports on a tablet, lots of snacks, water, suntan lotion. Might have heard of those. Dean, careful.
Mm-hmm.
Precious cargo. And then sit back and watch them buzz around for 2-3 hours.
Yeah. I've got about 9 scooters if you want them.
Yeah, we got
I've got skateboards. I've got scooters. I've got rollerblades. Whatever you need for that skate park.
Anything with wheels, I got you.
Yeah, I got it. I got bikes, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually down now. I'm almost at one bike per person that lives in the house.
That's impressive if you can get that low.
Because we were at a times two, basically, where we had double.
Yeah.
But no one wrote, and they were either already too small for everybody in the house or too big or whatever.
This one's too hard to change the gears.
This one, I can't even, the brakes don't work. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's because the neighbor, rather than throwing it out, they just handed it down the street. Hey, would you guys like a bike? So that'll be good. People are going to start giving you their trash. Which again, brings me back. Do you want a scooter or anything? I've got some, all kinds of stuff if you're really interested. Some of the stuff I got that belongs to Warner. It made its way to my house, and I can probably some lacrosse sticks and stuff. If you're interested, I can hand that down too.
He's got to be itching if he's not gone somewhere yet, hey?
Well, what's he doing? Like,
he's going to Buffalo for sure, but he's always around there for Independence Day. That's less than, what, 3 weeks away from that?
Well, again, what it comes down to is he has kids that he doesn't want.
He's got to wait for them to finish school.
His kids are cramping his style. That's right.
They really are, big time. First the lockout, now the kids, yeah.
Yeah. Marriage, work, he's kind of worked around having to work, which is nice.
Yeah.
Now, if he could just get rid of the kids, he got rid of the dog and the wife, then he'd be set.
So who would he drop his kids off with to just have them?
I can't take any more.
Someone else.
Oh, no, I have three of my own, and I already took his dog.
You were a perfect target for the dog, and you somehow were blindsided by this, and it was a completely well-planned offloading. I just don't know how he does it with kids. Is it to an aunt? Is it to a grandparent? I don't know. You can't just give your kids to the guy you do morning radio with. Somehow he did that with his dog.
Look, Riley, can you? Because Ryan already has two of his own. Ryan, can you take one? Like, I have three. I can't handle any. I'm already shorthanded. I'm shorthanded all the time.
If we can get Riley on the water and suntan lotion system, I think he's close.
Have we told you about the suntan lotion, how important it is, Riley?
Well,
it's very important.
I've heard that it could factor into my life when I have kids one day.
Yeah. It's going to be big.
I don't know if I want Rhett's kids because I think they could probably beat me up already. I don't know how old they are.
One of them could eat you already for sure.
Well, you know what? The oldest is big, but I think he's kind of a softy.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll grow into something. He'll be more physical. But I think he's kind of the softer one.
Sure.
The youngest of the three, he's got some real jam. I dig that kid, whatever his name is.
Maniac.
Does he call him Jaime? I'm not sure what he has. Dumb names for. It's either dummy or stupid or whatever. Mm. I'm not sure which one he is, but
well,
he's
confidence those names. Yeah,
the middle guy is kind of a hey, how's it going? He's kind of one way. He could take it or leave it, but then his third, he's got some real zip. I like him a lot.
That's scary.
Yeah, he's good. He is good stuff. So, you take one. Pinder, and then Riley, you take whatever's left.
What's the compensation package for this?
Oh, there's none. No,
well,
there's
why are we doing this then?
To help out Rhett because he needs
a break.
Because then, you know what? What's going to happen then is, but then he and the shoveler, he might keep the shoveler.
Yeah.
Because then they can leave like right now.
Yeah.
Just book a flight. Let's go right now. We don't have. I mean, yeah, the pipes could burst and the house could burn down, but, you know, we'll just buy another one of those.
Right.
Humans it's a little bit more tricky if you just kind of set...
buy another one.
Yeah, if you burn down the humans, the people are going to have an issue. They probably won't care so much if your own house burns down.
Jail time and such.
Yeah. The show today, look at you nailing down Joe Siddle.
You'd sent a note in the group chat. We got tomorrow. And I reminded you, we got Tommy at 8:25, not in the 9, because the Eric Francis show.
Okay.
Francis is going to be talking some Western Canadian Baseball League GM chatter. And
is that right?
Tommy gets bumped up on Mondays.
Nice.
And I thought, hey, you know who we haven't talked to forever, who's actually a huge beauty and is always really good with his time, is Joe Siddle.
I look forward to that. And I wondered when I saw that, I'm like, that's a great get. And B, maybe easier to get those guys when you're coming off an 18-4 win.
Lots of fun things to talk about.
Mood is high.
We don't have to talk about the Chatwood bonfire.
No.
We will, but it's going to be like an afterthought to, you know, everyone basking in the glow of a 20-hit performance.
20 hits. Yeah, if you didn't see it, I know how the weekend goes. Sometimes, unless you sit down and pay attention, you don't see it. But the Blue Jays hit 8 home runs yesterday.
No one has ever done that visiting Fenway Park before. The home team's done it, no one else. Home runs at Fenway the day after they hit 5 home runs at Fenway.
That shot from Bichette yesterday, it still hasn't come down.
The one from Friday hasn't landed.
Jeez.
The longest 2 home runs of his career have been in the last 3 days.
Yeah, just turned on them. And they look
inside
explosive,
fastball.
Right, because of how Fenway is configured.
Yeah, that's true.
They look so impressive when they absolutely fly right out of the building. Right over the top and out onto the street.
Yeah, damping someone's windshield. Very impressive.
But there was no park that was holding either one of those.
No.
God.
I looked at it. It's, I believe, 46 hits through three games against the Red Sox. The really only negative element is that they should be looking for a sweep today.
Yeah, they should. They lost on Friday.
5-1 on Friday late.
They had no business losing.
No business. And that sour taste was quickly removed with the big win Saturday and then yesterday's walloping. But this is a team they're going to chase. Like, I don't know that there's a team more susceptible to being caught than the Red Sox if the Jays are going to get a playoff spot. I think Oakland's good. I really like Houston. Clearly Tampa is a legitimate team, and the White Sox look strong. Not quite sure on Cleveland, but the Boston rotation has been incredibly meh for the last month after a really hot start, and it was a rotation that no one expected to be good. And so I just wonder what they've got moving forward, because I haven't been impressed with anyone that's thrown against the Jays yet this series. Eovaldi today.
Yeah, Friday was that was impressive. 5-1 lead, and Chatwood is on.
Oh, boy.
And a hit, RBI, base hit, 5-2. Walk a batter, load to bases, 5-3. Walk, wild pitch, 5-4. Then Edward, again, if Edwards Sr. is available, he's got to be better than his kid, because his kid is trash. Home run, 5-5, bottom 9, Dolis, walk off. 6-5. Even the broadcasters for the Red Sox are like, well, I can't. There's a chance here. Whoa, that's wow. This is kind of crazy. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Not if you've been watching the Blue Jays for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a rough 3 weeks for the bullpen.
Ooh.
That game in Cleveland, they basically did the same thing way up in the doubleheader, and White Sox bullpen meltdown. There's been like one every 3 or 4 days. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's becoming pressing, right? Like, you're starting to realize how elite other areas of this ball club are. They've gone through 3 turns of the rotation with really good starts. They're going to be able to out-hit almost any team in baseball, if not every team. But you're handing the ball to dusters at the seventh inning, and it gets scary.
They've hit 99 home runs. They have a chance, obviously, to be the first to 100 on the season. And that helps when you bomb out, what was it, 12 in the last 2 days? But,
yes.
And it's to excess, right? It's exact, like, way over the top. But when you watch what they were able to accomplish this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, if you only sat down to watch Blue Jay baseball this weekend,
yeah,
you don't even have to squint to see what the vision is for this team. And why there's talk of expectation, high expectations, and excitement. Is the offense looks like it's going to be there, top to bottom. Even my boy got in yesterday.
Your boy even snuck one in.
Two-run shot. No one makes it 18-3 like my boy Rowdy.
Yeah, well, someone's got it.
Attaboy.
Apparently. Yeah, and Vladdy, by the way, Triple Crown watch is real in the American League and leads the universe in home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, slugging, OPS, and WAR. Pretty good year.
Not bad. Teoscar? Couple? What, he hit two yesterday?
Teoscar Hernandez.
Teoscar Hernandez had, what, 2 3-run shots? Not bad.
He had 6 RBIs in the fourth inning.
Yeah. Yeah, he hit 2 3-run homers.
And the Red Sox just like, okay, well, we're losing this one, so who's the biggest duster we can send to AAA tomorrow? You're pitching 5 2/3.
Yeah. Text line is open. Some classic boomer math. I love it. 8 + 5 home runs is 12. I didn't know. I don't have. I know they hit 8 yesterday. I didn't know what they hit on Saturday.
Yeah, 13's right. Sorry, I encouraged you there. That was the wrong answer.
I'll write it down here. Just okay. So 5 and 8 is. Thank you. God, 622 critics out there. The math police are out. Throw your phone out the window.
It's a little firm.
Well, it's a little firm, but I mean, 6:20 in the morning, you're texting me about my math? Get out of here. Jeez. Don't you know it's going to be like 30 degrees today?
So God. If it got 6 degrees hotter, then it would be what?
35.
Just throw it a break.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Reminder to keep listening. We will have our Here Comes Summer contest clips continuing all day and right through this week. You'll hear it in the commercial break. You'll hear it come up. It'll be, oh, look, it's a famous call. Guess who? What is it? Take a listen to the play-by-play clip. We need the date, or at least the year, of the clip and the two teams that are involved in said sporting clip. Text it in to 960-960. Put your name, by the way. I mean, we'll have your number, I suppose.
It's helpful. Yeah.
Means we'll put your name in there, too. Because it's not a rush. It's not time sensitive. Just kind of figure it out. Right. Figure it and then text it in.
Take your time.
And then you're in. And then coming up on the 21st, which is Monday, we'll pick one of the lucky qualifiers. He or she will have to choose from one of the following from Paradise Bay Leisure Products. A brand new patio umbrella, a natural gas fire pit with cover and wind glass, or a brand new gas grill.
Like all that.
Our website is sportsnet.ca/960 if you'd like more details. For all your hot tub and patio needs, go and check out goparadisebay.com. That is goparadisebay.com. I said goparadisebay.com. Joe Siddle with the Blue Jay broadcast crew coming up at 7:25. Tommy Wheeldon Jr., 8:25. Euro day number four. Blue Jays, day four. And Blue Jays game four versus the Red Sox today.
You got to take three or four here. Come on now.
Well, you may as well. I mean, if you're going to play, you may as well try and win this thing.
And I know you, as a big Yankees fan, I mean, you can get behind the Red Sox dropping three or four to the division.
I can, yes, but just the more I watch this Yankees team, it's exactly what was feared at the start of the year.
Is it? Because I thought the fear was we don't have pitching, but we'll hit the lights out, and it's kind of been the opposite in a weird way.
Well, what it is it's home runs or nothing. It's long ball, which is kind of almost what baseball's becoming. But if they're not hitting home runs, they're not hitting much at all, and they're losing. They just lost. They lost back to back to Philly. Just gross.
7-0 the other day.
Yes. Hideous.
I guess sort of what the thought is you get all these good hitters, but they're all the same hitter in the sense that there's a lot of swing and miss in that lineup. Is that fair? Power guys?
Well, certainly with Stanton and Judge, but even like LeMahieu's not hitting well.
You're right. That's not LeMahieu. He's different. That's right. Boy, what a perfect time to have his contract end after last year.
Yeah, it's really good.
Hitting like 360 or whatever. Oof.
Yeah. Shockingly that Odor has not been the answer.
Yeah, weird. That's a guy that's been hitting like his weight for 3 years isn't the answer.
Keep waiting for Clint Frazier to come around, and that's not really happening.
Is Gary Sanchez still getting reps, or have they found that Higashioka is way better?
Well, I don't know where one ends and one begins right now. Sanchez hitting .219. I was looking this morning.
Better than last year. Yikes.
Horrible. But yeah, horrible last year.
Oh, just awful. That's what I asked.
Horrendous. Anyway.
All right. Hockey.
Yeah, I guess, right?
I mean, I'm kind of with you. There's could have used a few more days between rounds, not for the players, but for us just to refresh because we're back into it already. And I didn't find myself drawn to the TV at 1 in the afternoon when it was 30 degrees. Funny.
1 p.m. D-U-M. Said it last week. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I get that it's TV and stuff, but I don't understand why you cater to a TV contract or what, but why even the broadcaster? Why are you wanting to run that at 1 in the afternoon?
Yeah, you have to talk to NBC people with that. I don't know the answer.
Figure it out, NBC.
It's not what CBC wants, I'll tell you that. Or, excuse me, our guys, TSN. What's going on in my brain?
Oh, it's all right.
That's us. I'm watching the other channel because we've got soccer.
Yeah, I know. If you look on paper, it's 2-1 Islanders win. That sounds pretty much like what you would expect. 31 shots each on net. The lone goal for the Lightning came in the final minute on a power play with the goalie pulled. So the 6-on-4 goal by Braden Point made it close. They had a chance.
Point again, man. Point again.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they'll be better because I went back just to say that I did. Stamkos was just okay. This is it, you know what it is? We see this a lot. You go back to the last round for Vegas.
Yeah.
Put Leonard in, coming off of a long series. They get their doors blown off. It's like, okay. And then you look back in 5, 6, 7, 8 days later. It's like, well, game one didn't really have a whole lot of.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of. Well, impact isn't the right word, but it's definitely not the way the series ended up going. And the Islanders may win this series, but the Lightning are going to have something to say about it before it's all said and done.
Well, if the Islanders are going to hold Tampa to one goal a game, I like their chances. I just don't know that I like the odds of that happening.
The other thing, too, they took two penalties. Tampa was 1-for-2, that late goal. Obviously, yep. The only goal came on the power play. If you can give the Lightning 0-1-2 tops 3 power plays in a game, you're going to be in good shape.
They're humming at 42%, Dean, so you're going to want to stay out of the box. You're going to want to be the New York Saints.
And they, the one thing they did, and you would be able to know more about this, but I had read somebody yesterday said that the Lightning generated 0 high danger chances off the rush.
Really?
The Islanders just took the rush away. Now, once you get zone time and you're churning and that, Tampa's got some skill. They're going to make you...
Yeah. Yeah.
Going to make you work. But the Islanders and how Barry Trotz moves his defense around.
Yeah.
He has set pairs, but they will move over the course of the game. Like Scott Mayfield yesterday played 22 minutes and 43 seconds. That's not always the way that goes.
Right.
It can move Andy Green down to 15:50. He's usually a little bit higher than that. Noah Dobson is kind of the guy. They'll move him around. Well, this time you're out with Pelech, and next time maybe you're out with Letty. So I would guess, and if we had a former player who played, we could ask him, but, you know, time off.
He also would have been tuned out of that game anyway.
No, I just wonder in terms of...
names of the players you just mentioned?
In terms of being a defenseman, and if this shift you're going out with one partner, and then you're together for 2-3 shifts in a row, and then now you're with another guy, mm-hmm. and the next shift you're back to the other guy, and 2 shifts later you're with somebody else, is that as convoluted and challenging as it might seem, or is it just business?
I think the guy we know, that's just business, right? He always talked about just, you know, getting out there and playing, not really thinking too much. But I think watching other guys' results, it would be very different. I just think about, like, the year that they put Hamonic and Brody together and how horrible that looked. I don't know if you remember that.
Because
they had Dougie Hamilton with Gio, and you're like, oh, man, like, this is the guy that in the first and the second, what? And Brody's like, what? This guy, people thought he was going to the World Cup? And then they rejig the pairings a year later, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, this is nice. This is you get Brody back with Giordano. You get Hanifin coming in for Hamilton. He goes and plays with Hamonic. You're like, okay, these pairs work. So, you know, there's an example of, I don't think the guys stopped being who they were. There's just some fits that are better. And to your point, I think it is a little more unusual to see the pairs swapped around. But it's also something Montreal is doing, right? They talked about how...
It's all they're using Romanov.
And Romanov were guys that they are third pair guys. You're going to be 5-6 in minutes, but they don't play with each other. They take turns alternating with guys on the first and second pair.
And that's kind of the Noah Dobson here, where he's the younger guy who they're moving around. Maybe it lends itself to simplicity. When you don't have that comfort zone, you're assuming that your partner, you kind of know his tendencies and his traits and what he might be doing. No, it's just D-to-D reverse. That's the whole thing with the Islanders anyway. It's not...
Simple.
It's not overly cute. It's just get in and go to work.
Dobson is the name, by the way. That's the one. That's the forever tied to the Flames.
Right. The other thing, too, of note from yesterday, 61% were the Islanders in the faceoff dot.
Not bad.
61 to 39. That's, you like starting with the puck. Get it in, get it on.
Feels a little easier when you do.
Varlamov, his 4th straight win. Now both he and Sorokin, at the start of round 3, both goalies have won 4 in a row. They both have 4-game win streaks.
What?
It's only happened twice in NHL history.
I was going to say, how do you go away from a guy with a 4-game win streak? But you have to have 2 guys in a 4-game win streak.
Yeah.
It was Sorokin mostly in round 1, and then Varlamov got his feet in round 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
and you get those stories. Like Braden Point has been a story now in back-to-back playoffs. He's got 9 goals. Ryan Pulock ended up with the game winner. It came at 5:36. So he has 4 goals. He had 2 in the regular season in 56 games. He's got 4 Gamer. In 13. 3 of them are game winners. And Barzal was getting crushed early on in the playoffs. He had nothing in terms of goals. 0 in his first 8. He's now got 4 in his last 5. He opened the scoring yesterday. That's why you love the playoffs, is you get that kind of stuff, right? It's those moments that I keep harping about. Because if the Islanders go on to do something special, they'll remember Ryan Pulock. Oh, yeah, he played for the Islanders, good play. But remember that playoff. Guy exploded for 4 goals.
You can still go around town and talk to people about the overtime goals in 04. You can mention Oleg Saprykin, yes. Steve Monador, and people are like, yeah, oh yeah, I remember that one. Clap, 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 mm-hmm. Drop the puck.
Moments.
Mm-hmm.
Need the moments. We're going to take a moment right now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of playoffs, the Habs and Golden Knights are coming up. 7 o'clock.
Our boy. Get that liver ready.
Yeah, I worry about him a little bit.
Well, this is all new for him, right? He's definitely watched the Habs before. It's been, what, 6-7 years since he's watched them in the third round? If that, maybe.
Hey, longer. Riley, the last time they were in, what was it, round 3, what happened to Carey Price in that first game? Because I know there's a lot of talk about Carey Price, and I'm just trying to remember.
That jerk Chris Kreider intentionally hurt what you called the best goalie of all time.
So, well, I'm just going off.
That's a lot.
I'm just going off what I'm seeing and reading, because all I've heard. Because when did that series end? Last week it was Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
All I have heard since is about Carey Price.
Right,
Carey Price, Carey Price, Carey
you,
Price.
You haven't been listening very carefully, because all I've been hearing about is Pacioretty and Suzuki. And
oh, is that right?
Cole Caulfield is the next Brett Hull. It's very exciting.
They sent Sean McKenzie down to Vegas to tell us how good Carey Price is.
No, I'm glad we got our best.
That's money well spent.
Yeah,
let's send someone down to Vegas. Let's get some feet on the ground, boots on the ground in Vegas to tell us what?
Dean,
how great Carey Price is.
Dean,
yeah.
You're just jealous. You're not in Vegas.
Well, I just
don't take it out on Sean.
I'm
if
not
you got
taking
given
it.
That gig, you would be happily go down and stand with shorts on and a blazer and a suit.
But
shirt.
Is there not another story? Is there not another you needed to send someone down to Vegas to cover the Habs and tell us about Carey Price? You can check that story out on sportsnet.ca. I'm sure
that's
you can,
right. Yeah. Reach out to Sean, see if he can join us later this week.
Now, Riley was telling us that you have not one, but 2 of the placement kids, whatever you call them, the interns, working on Pinder Report for you.
Well, we did the handoff on Friday. We got a little call together, get on the computers. Virtually chat with each other,
mm-hmm.
and we're handing off from intern 1, which is Dawson, to intern 2, which is Darren.
Got it.
So the double D's have really helped out with this morning's work. Right. Got a lot of sits eyes on this thing, and I think it's pretty meaty Pinder Report.
Well, Riley said this morning that he really likes the Pinder Report.
It's a big set.
Actually, no, wait. Here, I wrote it down. Riley said this morning he used to really like the Pinder Report. I don't know what's happened. Riley, okay. Why has it changed? You said you used
really
to really
catch the show.
You really like? Yeah, I'm not sure. Well,
a lot of hands in the cookie jar now.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe today's will be better. Riley, give it a. What do you got for a rating today? 10 being best ever.
We were on the letter system last week. Yeah. We were out of 10 this week.
I think it's got 8 to 9 potential today.
Ooh, that smells like A- in my world.
Yeah.
There's some old references, like I think I dug out a Mike Myers from Saturday Night Live clip.
Which we can't find. Did you find it, Riley?
There's a link to it in his bloody DMs.
Yeah, no, I got it. We're good.
You mean he can't find it? How dare you?
Is it in the folder?
Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, the guest hotline is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Make it a great night. Choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, steaks and ribs. Order through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. We'll go to the guest hotline in less than an hour. 725 Joe Siddle, broadcast team with the Blue Jays and Rogers Sportsnet. A record-setting day at Fenway yesterday for the Blue Jays as they pump out 8 home runs.
Oof.
En route to an 18-4 victory. An absolute snot bubbling, they call it, in Boston over the Red Sox. They will wrap it today before, I believe, going on to New York to play the Yankees.
I think it is to Buffalo to host New York.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
But yeah, and they haven't played the Orioles yet. I just looked at the schedule. The next 3 weeks, there's a lot of Orange Birds.
And they are
trash birds.
And they are trash, right? Yes. Have they snapped where they lost, what, 15 in a row or something? I saw the other. Have they won yet?
Big?
It's impressive. Yeah, it's impressive. But
not easy to do that.
You're right. Especially in
15 in a row, but
especially in baseball, because baseball is kind of funny that way. You'll just kind of fall a backwards into a win every once in a while. The other team just, you know, they've been out being a bunch of Rileys and getting hammered up, you know.
But Richards. Just a bunch of Richards and Rileys and Munsons.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking here. Meanwhile, the Rays are very good, as it turns out. God.
Still,
I'm tired of the
everyone
Rays.
Was very quick to discount their ability to be good, and it's like, well, why? They've always been trading guys in their prime for prospects. Why would this year be the year they take a step back?
You know what? When they move to Montreal, then I'll cheer for them. You want me to cheer for you?
You're still falling for that whole thing, hey? That's interesting.
They've won.
I mean, all you need is like probably $2 to $3 billion.
Oh, Ryan!
Team, right? Like that's
once
all
we get out of this COVID
easy
thing, everyone's going to be throwing money around. You just wait. Since May 13, the Rays have won 23 of their last 28, outscoring opponents by 86 runs. Other than that, just kind of scraping by. Yeah.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Joe Siddle, not so much about the Rays, obviously, but we'll talk some baseball with him in 725. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. in the 8, Euro
He's
2020.
He's getting wound up. It's Czech Republic, Scotland in just mere moments here, Dean.
No, yeah, I was doing a little bit of looking. The Scots will be absolutely out of their minds today.
First time since 96 in the tournament, they are wound up.
Yeah.
The kilts are ready to dance. Let's go.
And then Poland and Slovakia, Spain, Sweden.
That's an interesting clash. The Spaniards are always, you know, heavy favorites, but they've had a little COVID scare during training. Swedes are never an easy out.
And then tomorrow, France and Germany.
That's the doozy of all the first games. Can't find one better than that.
Can we do the show from a pub tomorrow morning? We can probably pull that off, right?
That's a 1 p.m.er.
Is it a 1 p.m.er? Oh, damn it.
I don't think Wednesday. Is that Wednesday 1, I think?
Why aren't we doing these shows? Like, I know we're not contractually allowed to, but we can still go somewhere, right? Invite people to come in, have some bacon and eggs and some beers, and let's do this. But instead, I'm here, paying for parking. Sakes. Oh, look at the time. 10 away from 7. Let's do the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Dean.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Dean,
yeah.
Dean. Why don't you
join
me on a patio tomorrow to watch Germany-France?
Is tomorrow Tuesday?
Tomorrow looks like a Tuesday.
What time?
1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Maybe just give me a percentage chance that you would do it. It's just a ballpark. I don't need a firm answer, more a probability.
What's the forecast going to be? Do we know what kind of day we're looking at tomorrow?
It's going to be lovely. I mean, we're in a little lovely stretch here.
Looks like we might have some showers tomorrow, Ryan. See, there's a chance.
Come on.
I'm not sure. I would like to, though. But I want to get into the belly. I want to get somewhere where there's going to be a, because I would think fan bases, there'd be plenty for both coming out for that one, right?
Yeah. All for a say. And whatever you say in German.
Ole, ole, ole.
That's
ole.
The one.
Yeah.
Something like 25 that. 25 degrees. Oh, beauty.
The Germans.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah?
Semifinals underway in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Jays setting off offensive fireworks at Fenway, and Novak Djokovic reminds us he's very good.
Is that where you wanted to start with the
Just
hockey?
Keep her going. Yeah.
Okay.
Let her go.
Because you're going to talk hockey first?
We will start at the Amalie Arena.
Are we talking hockey or football?
Amalie Arena. There's nothing else happening at Amalie
no?
Arena except the hockey.
So hockey.
Hockey. Thank you. A rematch of last year's Eastern Conference final from the bubble in Edmonton. Oh, you remember that? No, not really.
No, I think it was six games, but I don't really recall.
Weird. Bulls needed six to beat Barry Trotz's crew, you're right. Last year, game one, a romp, Dean. An 8-2 win for the Bolts. A laugher. Can you give me a laugh? Over the top, media laugh?
I can, but I'd rather...
Okay.
Give you one of those.
It's firm but fair. This year, not so much. Not a laugher. Scoreless through 20. Visitors struck in the second.
Stamkos on the puck. Turned it over to Bailey. Up the middle. Brought in. Barzal to the net. Scores! Matt Barzal has the opening goal of the Stanley Cup semifinals.
And you know what? He's hungover. He was at slow pitch. He's sunburnt. And he's got his Habs tonight distracting him. And yet he didn't fall prey to what has to be the worst play-by-play matchup in NHL Stanley Cup playoff history on the radio side. On one side, we have screamy, angry Mishkin and delusional Esposito. On the other side, high-pitched, nervous kid. Well done going with the TV broadcast there, Riley. Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
A lot.
Yeah.
It added to that lead in the third.
Jordan Eberle trying to get it away from the feet of Pulak. Here's Pulak. Tees it up. Scores! Ryan Pulak with a drive that may have changed direction on its way through. Mm-hmm. But the puck finds its way past Vasilevsky, and it's 2-0 New York.
Boy, imagine how good the Oilers could be if they had just got that non-playoff performer Jordan Eberle out of there sooner. Really got that stink in the room, and it's been tough to recover from that.
Eberle won a battle there. I mean, he's not
Eberle
that guy.
Has not been an issue.
But he is, he's been just, but again, you go in there, win a battle, son, leads to a goal. And Ryan Pulak, of course, from Grandview, Manitoba.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
One of my favorite cousins.
And what a Grandview it is.
Yeah. Mm. They got a great bakery there. If you're ever in Grandview.
Yeah.
My Baba used to live there.
What am I looking for at the bakery? Give me the order.
I'm going to say go with a Jam Buster.
Jam Buster?
Yep.
All right. The shutout buster was Braden Point. He attacked on the power play late for the Bolts.
Kucherov up with it. Back for Hedman. Side of the net. Point trying to get to it. Kucherov will find it. Now it's Killorn in front. Point scores! And it's a one-goal game.
Yeah, that's a 42% power play. Be careful, Islanders. Be very, very careful.
Now,
they
Ryan,
win game one, 2-1.
Yeah, I know it's a 6-on-4 goal, but if you haven't seen that goal, the hands on Braden Point, he takes it like it's right in tight. It's kind of the we see it a lot. Puck comes from the side down to the guy below the goal line, out in front, and it's not a one timer. Point can't really forehand. To his backhand, back to his forehand, and then roof. From the top of the crease, so fast.
And he did the opposite
in
that game against the Hurricanes, where he took it on the backhand, pulled forehand, cut in, went backhand shelf.
You know what?
The pause on this kid!
You know what he's got? As my buddy Lou would say, he's got some magic mitts.
Double M magic mitts.
Magic mitts.
Yeah. Isles win 2-1. Some notes on the series. Tampa 3-0 all-time in the playoffs against the Islanders. 0-4. Might remember that year on here. 2016. I believe that was after the Isles upset the division-winning Panthers. And, of course, last year in the bubble, as we mentioned, Tampa's in the conference final for the fifth time in 7 years. Must be nice. And 2 years in a row for the Islanders under Sweet Lou and Haberet.
I'm tired of the Lightning. Go Islanders already.
Didn't you just pick the Lightning in front of
me? I did, but now I got more faith.
All right.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, Dean.
You want a stat? So I know you love your numbers and stuff.
I'm a huge
big
loser
number.
In my mom's basement, so give me a number. Let's go.
Teams that take a 1-0 series lead, huh?
Yeah.
Like the Islanders, huh?
Yeah.
Last year, Tampa Bay, 1-0 series lead, won the series.
Yeah.
You take a 1-0 lead?
Yeah.
68.7% of the time you go on to win that series.
So 67.8% of the time, it works all the time.
68.7. Figure it out.
A lot of math.
497 victories, 226 losses. That's a lot, Ryan.
Hey, Dean, you want some math?
Yep.
Tampa Bay has not lost a series since they were swept by Columbus in the first round of 2019.
Don't care.
Kucherov, boo. Here's more stats. 19 points in 12 games, leads the playoffs. NHL news, we got our Jack Adams finalists over the weekend. Rod Brind'Amour of the Canes, Dean Evason of the Wild, Joel Quenneville of the Panteros.
Who wins it?
It's got to be Quenneville, doesn't it? It's his third nomination. He won in 99-00 with the Blues and was nominated in 12-13 with the Hawks. It is a first time for the other two. Rod Brind'Amour is going to get a little run here. And why isn't he signed yet when he's offering probably about a third of market value to the Canes?
It's
this is getting a little awkward party.
Because we talked about this and you came at me about it. The
owner,
well, owner there
has been cheap, but he's also...
The owner's a donkey. Would you... And speaking of Carolina, would you like some breaking news?
Yes, please.
Elliot Friedman of... I don't know where he works, but he's an insider of sorts.
Headline Sports.
A tweet from just moments ago. I'm going to turn off the music just so you can hear this.
Focus on here,
A sign the offseason is really revving up.
Oh, dear.
As the Final Four chase the Stanley Cup, Carolina has given Dougie Hamilton permission to talk to other NHL teams open for potential sign and trade. So they haven't signed their coach, and they've already told Dougie, okay, you can beat it.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue, Dean.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. You want to sing it with me?
No, I don't.
Doug, Doug, Doug,
no.
Doug, Doug,
God,
Doug,
please
Doug,
stop.
Doug. If you lost Brind'Amour and Dougie Hamilton, by the way, thank you.
Here you go.
Nicely done, Dean. That was lovely.
You're welcome.
Who was on the piano? Is that Riley?
Yeah.
Tickling the ivory?
Yeah, the swamp donkey over there.
That's right. Why do we keep talking about signing trades? Can you tell me about the last signing trade in the NHL?
Well,
every year there's one journalist in the NHL who's actually really, really good, but he's always like, here are the signing trades. It's like, no,
but
they never, ever happen.
In a different sense, would you say that the Mark Stone to Vegas was kind of a sign and trade? Because
no.
He was traded and signed when he got there.
But that's a trade and sign, not a sign and trade.
But you know you're getting the deal done when you make the trade.
I understand that. But
the Pageau deal was a sign and trade. I'm guessing that's more...
No, that was, again, a trade and sign. The difference being, if you are with the club that you've been with at the last deadline, they can give you 8 years. When you go to a new team... They can only give you 7. That's where a sign and trade makes sense, and we've never seen one of those, ever. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, okay.
And it's a little dumb detail that I'm backpacking, but still, everyone talks about them like they're a thing. They're not. This is not the NBA.
Because the only difference there would be, as you say, if the Carolina Hurricanes were to sign him and then trade him, he could get the extra year.
There you go.
But could they not trade him and then he becomes a member of the new team and sign an 8-year deal?
I think because you held his rights on a certain date earlier this year, they'd only be able
you can't
to
do it.
7. That's my very, very limited knowledge of the situation. But yeah, go ahead and see.
But you're very angry about it, so okay.
Well, it's just because people keep talking about it like it's a thing. It's like, well, you know, they might do this thing that's never happened before because it always happens. Well, no, it doesn't ever happen, actually.
And it's Elliot's word. If you were to press him on it, he might say to you, it's more Stone and Pageau. It's like, go ahead. There will be no tampering. Talk to other teams. If you can get a deal, then we'll try and work out
Stone and Pageau were deadline guys. This is more like Bouwmeester coming to Calgary ahead of the draft, isn't it? Like, we'll trade you his rights.
I get, so but all I mean is you're not is you're not trading for a guy and then, okay, well, now let's see if he's interested in staying.
Right. You'd have to know that.
It removes the tampering. It allows you to.
Of course. Yeah.
And maybe kind of like with Calgary and Jack Eichel when that happens. You know, they'll be able to talk to Eichel.
He's not a free agent. Okay. Get that. We're going to move along. These are horrible comps. Joel Quenneville could indeed win the Jack Adams. How would he celebrate if he won, Dean? Think about it.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
A guy effing loves baseball. He really does. Yeah, he really does.
Everyone else yells, "I'm going to Disneyland," and he's like, "No, no, I'm going to Wrigley."
Now, where is he going? Is he going to Miami for that? Is he going to a Marlins game? It's a little different than Wrigley.
No. You go to Wrigley.
He's not in Chicago anymore.
Huh?
He's not in Chicago anymore.
He can still go to Wrigley.
I guess
you don't have to watch the game. Just go to the outfield, get blasted, and eat hot dogs with no ketchup. Let's go.
Would you like an update from Elliot Friedman?
Yes, please.
Responding to his own tweet. The other let me give you the two tweets back to back. I'm going to gas the first part. Carolina has given Dougie Hamilton permission to talk to other NHL teams, opens potential for a sign and trade. The other thing this does allows Hamilton to see if the Hurricanes do make the best offer for him, potentially allowing for a return if he doesn't like what he sees out there. Very interesting maneuver by team and player.
Interesting.
V.
This Pinder Report's going to be 88 minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What else we got today?
Nothing till 7:25.
Oh, yeah,
so
you got
us there.
Yeah. We can smush.
Here's what else we got. Tuukka Rask out for a while, Dean. Hip surgery for a torn labrum. Could be till what? 2022? Till he's back?
It's a Tuukka tear right there.
He's a UFA. This is interesting. Said he didn't want to leave Boston. How many goals are you going to sign, Bruins?
Doesn't want to leave.
What about your boy Sway Dog? Could he back up for the first half of the year behind someone like Alak? And then they could have Rask come back and the Sway Dog could go to Providence?
Well, who else they got there? That Vladash?
Darth Vader, yeah.
Right.
Tonight, Vegas, Montreal. Yeah, they won't be playing this song in Vegas, but Habs fans will be blasting it all day. This is what Riley has on his house on loop all day long. Shower, cooking meals, even when he sleps.
Speaking of showers, I might have to fire up a shower beer tonight, boys.
All right, too much info.
So exciting.
Jeez,
so exciting. 7 o'clock on your radio, Sportsnet West. Vegas actually has struggled against the Habs over the course of their very brief history in the league. One win. Two losses, three overtimes. 16.7 points percentage. That's their worst mark against any team in the league. Riley, the Habs. Don't you fade that on me. Keep her going.
Oh, God.
Marc-Andre Fleury, 22-13 all-time against the Habs. But his save percentage under .900. He's only played Montreal once in the playoffs. It was in the 2010 Eastern semifinals. Pittsburgh lost in 7. Price was 22 years old, backing up Yaro Halak in that series.
I'm done with the Habs. I'm tired of the Habs now.
Already?
How many games have they
played? Lose this round, or you're just going to be off the playoffs.
Played 11 games. It's enough. Jeez.
You want some tidy numbers? Carey Price, 935. Marc-Andre Fleury, 923. Of course, the big trade was Pat Chiaretti on the 10th of September, 2018, for Tatar Suzuki in a second rounder. Both teams win. Pat Chiaretti and agent Alan Walsh, he of the famous MS Paint sword in Marc-Andre Fleury's back, and Michael Frolik, usage expert, said that he didn't want to leave Montreal. The Burger Van said that Pat's already asked for a trade.
What a joke. Yeah, of course he didn't want to leave Montreal, except that he held out, was going to hold out and leave.
Suzuki, Montreal's second highest leading scorer, 8 points, 11 games. Pacioretty missed the beginning of the postseason, 8 points in 7 games. Okay, let's move along. Jays. Oh my goodness. Yesterday, this was just.
Swing and a drive.
A lot of swing and drives yesterday. A wild series at Fenway. Jays have piled up 30 runs and 46 hits through 3 games. Shockingly, they've only won 2 of the 3 games thanks to another bullpen meltdown on Friday. Yesterday, it was southpaw tight pants on the bump for Toronto. But it was all about the offense as the Jays set a record at Fenway Park.
Pretty good speed on both corners for the Blue Jays as Hernandez sends the ball to left field, and it is gone. The 2-2 to Gurriel. And this one's in on his hands, but he hits it a long way to left, and he got enough of it to send it out of here. Semien drives the ball to deep center. Gone! The 2-1, and Hernandez drills it deep center field, and it's gone. 1-1, and he hammers it to left field. And this one's going to leave the ballpark. Biggio lifts one to left center field, and another home run. And he hits the ball hard to right center field. Do you believe it? Jeremy Beasley's thrown in the bullpen as Rowdy gets into one. A long way to right in the eighth home run of the game for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's eight home runs at Fenway. A visiting team's never done that. Wow, if that sounded like a lot of home runs, Dean, it's because it was a lot of home runs. That's eight. One game.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, they had five on Saturday. That's, I believe, if my math is correct, 13 in their last two games.
Second most Jays have hit in a game. They hit 10 back in 87 in Baltimore.
Whoa. They've also tied a franchise record, five games with five or more home runs. They've only got 99 games left to beat that record. I say they do it.
And Vladdy, his two-run shot yesterday puts him at 20, correct?
21.
21.
And speaking of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Dean.
Today in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. news.
I don't know.
Vladito leading the majors in the following categories. Home runs at 21. Mm-hmm. RBIs at 55. On-base percentage, 450. Slugging percentage, 688. OPS, 1137. And WAR, 2. Quite the breakout season. It's basically going to take someone to pitch like an ace and be a DH / outfielder to beat him in MVP voting.
That's unless he gets hurt. Shot. What?
Dean.
Well, he's not great. It's been a good. Well, it's been a good run.
Dean. I mean,
unless he gets if
Dean?
He gets what?
Other Jays news: inconclusive COVID test for Steven Matz. He's on the COVID list. We'll watch for news on that front. Alec Manoah, Nathan Eovaldi tonight. 5:05 Sportsnet 1. Manoah 1 win in 3 starts. The Cubs won all three of his games, though. Eovaldi, the toughest starter in the majors, did a home run off of. Sounds like a challenge. Never boring with these Jays. Finally, NBA playoffs. Chris Paul is an animal, Dean. He's 36 and poured in 37 points last night.
CP
sweep the Nuggets.
CP 3.
PlayStation 3?
Yep.
Suns haven't been to the Western Conference Finals since Canadian and...
Rick Nash.
Really. He is Canadian.
Graham
Rick's
Nash.
Younger brother, Steve, I think. Right?
Riley Nash.
Martin Nash, Calgary FC, assistant coach. That was 09-10 the last time that happened. For the Nuggets, ugly end to a great season. League MVP Nikola Jokic was ejected for a flagrant.
Flagrant!
In the third. It wasn't really a flagrant, but, you know, if he was LeBron or Shaq or someone else, he would have stayed in. But, who are you? I can't even pronounce your name. You're out of here. Nets lose Kyrie Irving to an ankle injury, then fall to the Bucks, 107-96. Bucks got 34 from Giannis. And remember when we were playing the Dead Deers clip?
Yeah.
No Harden, no Irving, and 2-2 heading back to Brooklyn. The series is not over.
Go Milwaukee. I'm tired of the Nets.
Cheap beer.
Get out of here.
Cheese. Heavy people.
Love cheese.
Love Wisconsin.
Some sausage.
Yes.
Johnsonville brats.
Clippers Jazz. That goes tonight. Utah leads the series 2-1. 76ers Hawks. Philly leads that series 2-1. Euro
long,
2020 yesterday.
Long Pinder report. Holy smokes.
Oh, very long. Yeah, lots to talk about. It's a weekend. Monday. Started it at 55.
Did you say Euro?
Euro.
Open wide. 55.
No way we started at 55.
Wishing injuries on people.
Who, Vladdy?
Talking about sign and trades that were trading signs. England 1-0 over Croatia. Austria 3-1 over Northern Macedonia. I know that's heartbreaking for you. And the Netherlands survived a serious scare. Up 2-0 in the second half. Needed a late goal to win 3-2 over Ukraine.
Oh. What is Holland? What do you mean, what is it? It's a country right next to Belgium.
No, that's the Netherlands.
Holland is the Netherlands.
Then who are the Dutch?
Yeah, it's a lot. 7 a.m. this morning. It's already underway. Why is it underway? Isn't it 7 a.m.?
Oh, it's no, 7-11. It's going.
Oh, dear. Ben reports running late.
Is it?
Scotland, Czech Republic, Dean.
Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Yeah, their first appearance since 96. Slovakia, Poland at 10, and Spain, Sweden at 1. PGA Tour, someone named Garrick Higo rallied from down 6 strokes.
Let go my Higo.
Higo.
Delicious.
Didn't they throw Higo on the ice when the Leafs were awful 10 years
ago?
They
did, yeah.
Yeah. 68 yesterday, he wins the Palmetto Championship at Congaree. Delicious.
I never heard of half of these guys.
Yeah. 22-year-old South African watched 54-hole leader Chesson Hadley poop his pants, Dean, 4 over 75. 2 starts on the tour, 1 win. We'll see you at the Masters next year, son. Good work. U.S. Open this week, Torrey Pines, Thursday. Get ready. That'll be fun. And finally, Novak Djokovic defeats Stefanos Tsitsipas in the French Open final.
Poop 5-7. In my pants.
Yeah. Djokovic trailed 6-8, 2-6, but came back to win the final 3 sets. 19 Grand Slams. One back
my pants.
Of Nadal and Federer. Djokovic, the first man to win all 4 Grand Slams twice since the Open Era began in 68. On the women's side, get ready for this.
I poop so much.
Poop in my pants.
I did poop myself the other day.
Poo?
I shit my pants last night.
Poop like 5 times a day.
Poo?
I poop!
So we do have a poo montage.
Yeah, we do.
Barbara Krejcikova defeated Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova in 3 sets. Krejcikova was an unseeded player and only had 1 WTA tournament.
See, I feel like you could have wrapped this up. I feel like
Dennis,
you...
Well, I'll cut to you.
Yeah, like I just feel like now.
That's your Pinder Report right there, dude. Wrapped up. Yep.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Dennis Shapovalov.
714. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, the fan.
Today is Monday, which means in the 9 o'clock hour, Eric Francis, along with Ryan Pinder. Brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back Tuesdays and Sundays. Fans aren't in the seats yet, but you can still watch from home and get in on the action. Watch live at hpibet.com, hpibet.com.
You okay? Riley, I think you need some Tums over there.
Now, did you guys? He's hammerhead. Did you guys take a little time yesterday? I know it was Blue Jays playoff basketball, hockey. You're all that, but did you really see last night the big sporting event?
The Poochies. Got to be the Poochies.
Yeah, that's right. The Westminster Kennel Dog, the dog show.
Love it. I mean, didn't watch it, don't care for it, but love that it's a thing that's on TV, yes.
And, of course, it all came down to the big moment.
And tonight's best in show to the Pekingese.
Whoa!
The Pekingese? Oh, dear.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, a Pekingese named Wasabi won the best in show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. Wasabi came out of a... Pack the final included a French bulldog, a whippet, an old English sheepdog, a German short-haired pointer, a Samoyed, and a West Highland White Terrier. Ah, tremendous. 2,500 champion dogs entered the show. It's the most prestigious canine event in the U.S. Big stuff. It was held outdoors this year.
Really? Because that's usually at MSG there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving out of New York City for the first time since its it was founded.
Right.
1877. Can you believe it? 1877. It's amazing.
dogs were trained back then.
Whoa!
Whoa! And I'll be honest, have you ever heard of Pekingese? I mean, no thanks.
I don't know. No, thank you. Pass.
What do you
I'll take a big mutt, maybe a something with some lab in it. Whatever.
I'll tell you what, the old English sheepdog, it's not, like, did you read Mr. Muggs when you were in school, elementary school? Did you read Mr. Muggs?
You know what, my memory's so foggy, but I do know the books with the kids now. Harry McClary, that's a banger right there.
Is it? Well, oh, is that yeah. Are we talking about a dog or just a kid's book?
Bitzer Maloney, All Skin and Bony. There's all kinds of dogs in that book.
Harry what?
Harry McClary from Donaldson's Dairy. Come on, Dean.
Okay, pardon.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Muggs, that was when I was a wee lad. He was the English sheepdog, which made me want one. But my parents wouldn't let me have a dog. My parents wouldn't.
Oh boy.
Wouldn't let me have much of anything. Actually, it was.
Did I have a bike?
No brothers, no sisters.
Oh jeez.
Just all by myself. Maybe. Fire the kid a pet. No, don't want to look after the. Don't. Okay. As long as it's not inconvenient for you guys.
I'll just have a Quiet Riot t-shirt or what?
I'll just be out in the backyard throwing the tennis ball off the side of the house and catching it.
Watch the window, Dean! I'm trying to sleep in here! What's that banging?
You'd just given me a brother, Dad!
That's probably all right.
Yeah, that's probably time to... Yeah.
Stop the hammering!
That's right. Joe Siddle. We'll talk Blue Jays when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Our fan feedback line is brought to you by SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting. Pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, caldera, hot tubs, and more. Visit smlentertainment.com. Tonight on the radio, 7 o'clock, we'll have game number one of the sort of West Final. I don't know what they're calling it. The Campbell Conference Trophy Final sort of thing. It's the Habs and Golden Knights anyway. We'll have it for you at 7. Pleased to be joined by our next guest. It's been a while since we've had him on. Appreciate his time. Joe Siddle with Sportsnet joins us here. Joe, I got to admit, if Friday night you'd have told me we were going to have Joe Siddle on Monday morning, I'd be thinking, this is not going to be a very fun conversation. I don't know. What are we going to be talking about?
Yeah.
But a pretty amazing turnaround from the Chatwood affair to what we saw Saturday and certainly yesterday in Fenway. What a weekend it really was.
It has been. Thanks for having me, guys. It's baseball is like that. We've always said it's a marathon season, lots of ups, lots of downs, and that's why when you're in uniform, especially as a player, coach, manager, you really have to kind of be even keel as possible. And there are some heartbreaking losses like Friday, but you just continue to ride that wave, and they've bounced back very well, and they've beaten up on some pretty bad Boston pitching in a park that's pretty hitter friendly, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. So it'd be really nice to get out of Boston taking 3 out of 4. And that's why I think tonight's such a big game, because if they were to drop tonight, then it's a split, and it's kind of that little bit of a downer again as they head into that Yankee series. But if they could beat up Boston again tonight and leave with 3 out of 4 going into a Yankee series against a team that's kind of been a lot of stories around the Yankees too. They're not quite what we all thought.
Yeah, we'll talk about, I guess, not so much Friday, but just the bullpen issues in a little bit. But it was when you go into Fenway and do something that's never been done. That's a special day. You've been around the game for a long time. Have you ever seen an offensive explosion? 8 home runs, 20 hits, like what the Blue Jays put up yesterday.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that. That was crazy. It just kept going and going. And I know Rowdy capped it all off with a home run off a position player. But as I said, I don't care because stats-wise, it's a home run. In fact, when he came up, I said, this is a perfect spot for Rowdy to build a little confidence right here, maybe hit the home run off a position player. I'm sure he did. But these guys, the way they're swinging the bats, and you know, we had talked probably a week or so ago, Jamie and I, in our show about Vladdy. And Vladdy had these pretty drastic home and road splits for his hitting, and he was just tearing the cover off the ball at home. And of course, we attributed a lot of that to TD Ballpark down in Florida, where, you know, it's a minor league ballpark. We saw that the wind was blowing out a lot of days, and he was really a kind of up the middle right center guy, and he can do it. He can use the whole park. He can go anywhere. But I said, you know, in fairness, they had also faced a few very tough teams with good pitching staffs on the road that really hurt. I think it was 3-for-30 against like Houston, Cleveland, and Tampa Bay's pitching, all pretty good pitching. So I said, you got to give that time because things tend to level out. And I think they're leveling out this weekend because they have their approach, though. It's been so good because they are a team that when you watch them, they do kind of use the whole field. And I know the Green Monster is a little bit unique in Boston, and they've been peppering that wall and hitting balls over that wall. But I like the way that we're seeing them, and even guys as good as Vladdy, it's not just all about trying to hammer the monster. That you see him go oppo the other yesterday with the home run. We've seen Bo stay inside a couple balls and shoot him to right, despite, again, the wonderful things we're seeing over the Green Monster. So it's kind of looking like that complete offense. And there are a few guys that still chase and expand the zone, you know, the Gurriels and Grichuks and Bows. They will do that, and it's frustrating when they do, but it seems to be overall, and when I say overall, I'm talking about the big boys, top 5-6 in the lineup, because it's got to be as good as anyone in the game. And I think the approach is paying off, and certainly being big dividends, because they're handling the fastballs, but they're also handling the breaking stuff. So now it gets difficult to figure out how to pitch them.
Joe, I think one of the things that we were hopeful of before this season started was that this team would be close to playoff caliber, and it appears the offense is most certainly in that category. When you look at the run differential, they've only gotten four games of Springer. At times, it's felt like the rotation was the biggest weak point. Certainly more recently, it feels like the bullpen. How do you expect this front office to approach the coming months where you can – I guess, support this roster with some moves?
Well, it's interesting the way you just worded that. You know, coming off last season, I hate to take anything away from the team and say they snuck into an expanded playoff format, but I think they did after 60 games. I'm not so sure they were a playoff team last year if that thing goes 162, and I'm not sure the Blue Jays front office felt that way. And after losing 90-plus games just the year before, so it does take time to rebound, but I think when you're just watching this team right now, and I was the first one, I'll raise my hand to say, yeah, I had all kinds of issues with the starting rotation going into this season, because you're bringing in Ray and Match, two guys with kind of checkered past. You're hoping for rebounds from both of them. And I thought if you get a rebound from one of them, it might be a win. It looks like Robbie Ray is that one, but he and Ryu have been a great one too at the top of the rotation. And then you look at this lineup, and I felt they were going to hit, but I'm not sure I felt they were going to be kind of top of the league like this, like top in several categories. So that's all great. And it's nice to see the rotation maybe rounding into form. Now, we don't know. You know, Stripling's on a bit of a run. That's nice. At the back end of the rotation, that's a wonderful thing. If Manoah can just do what he's doing and hold the fort, maybe he's a five-inning guy and giving up 3 or 4 runs. You know, those back end guys, there aren't too many teams that have great fours and fives. So if you get your big boys at the top doing their thing and the other guys can hold fort, but the bullpen has to be better, and there's just no way, I don't think, you can compete, certainly not to win an AL East or compete for a wild card if your bullpen is in the shape that it's in. How do you address it? You know, I think it was just a token move to bring up that Saucedo the other day. It's a move. That's all it is. It's probably just from being criticized so much that something had to be done. But this bullpen, I think, going into the season was a concern of mine because, you know, you bring in like a Yates and Chatwood, two guys coming off injury, so that's high risk right away. And sure enough, Yates isn't going to throw a pitch the whole season. Chatwood was phenomenal, but then things started creeping in, and we've seen this in his past where he's had issues with command. And then you've got your guys like Romano and Dolis who are back, and you hope they're going to be themselves. But after that, you know, you're looking at you hope Meza can be Meza, but he's coming off Tommy John surgery. They've already lost Baraki. So my point is lots of question marks entering this season with this bullpen. And while it started really well in April, now we're starting to see probably the real guys, like probably maybe who Chatwood is and who, you know, you Trent Thornton. Who is Trent Thornton? Well, he's probably a failed starter that can pitch out of the bullpen for you when you're down 3-1 or 4-1. And he's been good in that role. But now you start pulling guys out of their roles and pitching them at higher leverage, and you're asking a lot now from like a Piams and Castro and these guys. So Castro could be a fine. You know, there are good stories when you claim guys off waivers. I think they happen once in a while. We remember Daniel Hudson here, and he went on to win a World Series with the Nats and be very good. But that, for every one of those stories, I think there's six or eight stories where guys aren't necessarily going to be all that. So I don't know that a trade is possible just yet, because if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates or Washington Nationals or a team that's not competing, you've got a pretty good back-end bullpen arm. You're not just giving it away right now in June. So the price is going to probably be high right now. But to do it internally, maybe, but I think it's going to be external. It'll probably be by the deadline. You just hope it's not too late and that they're still in this thing.
Internally, do you see a role for Nate Pearson on this club before the fall?
You know, Jamie and I discussed this yesterday, and the hardest part for me is I'm not watching him pitch right now. I get the numbers just like you guys do, and I'll kind of see, okay, he's doing this. Oh, a lot of pitches and so many innings, whatever. We say the name Nate Pearson, and as soon as you mention that name, it's like, oh, yeah, big high-end guy. But then it's like we haven't seen that a lot. If he is and if he's pitching well, I don't see why you wouldn't consider a Nate Pearson or even like this Thomas Hatch who's coming back. If these guys, like what Thomas Hatch did last year, if these guys are pitching well, Pearson and Hatch, wouldn't they be nice additions to the bullpen right now? Because they can give you multiple innings. It's a great way to control the workload. Hatch coming back from injury. Pearson, short season last year. They didn't want him to throw 150 innings this year anyway. So they could be nice pieces back there if they're pitching well. That's the big if. Because that's a decision the Blue Jays have to make. They're the ones that have their eyes on them, watching them pitch every time out. But I do think those would be good additions. Now, the problem is, what do you do if a guy in your rotation right now goes down? What if Robbie Ray has to spend some time on the injured list for some reason? Well, you don't want to delve down into the Anthony Kays and TJ Zwicks to come up and start, right? But what I would do in that case is maybe use those guys who are stretched out, add Thornton to that mix with like a Pearson and Hatch if they're in your bullpen, and you can piece together that day with a couple of piggyback type guys, maybe go three each and then hand it off to the bullpen. So I think it can be done. You certainly don't want to sell yourself short on those innings, but I think that would be the most instant help for that bullpen right now.
Do you see anything like this coming for Vlad Guerrero? I know he was one of the more highly touted prospects in the history of the sport, but all at once, wow.
So I looked at him as a hitter over the first couple of years in the big leagues there. And when you do what he did in the minor leagues at such a young age, and it was just so off the charts, I'm not saying I expected him to be a MVP candidate, but I expected he was going to be an elite major league hitter. I really did. Now, the body issues threw a curve into that big time last year. And I remember analyzing his swing a few times last year, and quite frankly, I said his body is not allowing him to get into the positions that he used to get into. And that's that strong athletic position where you can generate the bat speed that you're capable of. Now, DNA is a wonderful thing, and Vladdy's got it, because he can generate bat speed like not many other human beings. It is absolutely phenomenal to see some of the things he does. But what's really encouraging, too, is he took it upon himself. He got that body back into better shape. And now we're starting to see those moves in the batter's box again. So you take the physical component, that's one huge part, but he is just so advanced too in so many other areas. He's so advanced in reading what a pitcher's trying to do to him. He's so advanced at plate discipline, not giving in and not trying to expand his zone because he knows he's going so well right now and he's in the MVP race and he could be chasing balls out of the zone, but he's not. And that's that baseball IQ and all of those other things that make him such a special hitter. And then, oh, by the way, his age. So you put all those things together and it's a 22-year-old. This is just like unbelievable and good thing for our country. I think Blue Jays fans will be cheering this guy on, hopefully for a real long time. Maybe he can get locked up for a long time and be a Blue Jay forever.
Joe Siddle, our guest here on Sportsnet. Really impressed with Semien, because I know there were some questions coming in which Simeon was a 2019, 2020, the guy that struggled last year. And I wonder, in that clubhouse, you've got a lot of young guys. And I was curious after the meltdown on Friday, what do you do the next day? Because it was very similar. They had the 5-1 lead Friday, and then they get out to a 5-0, 6-0 lead. When you start getting to the bullpen, do you start to hear those footsteps coming again? But they just shook it off. I just wonder, when you look at it, who are the veteran guys or the older guys who are kind of in there to maybe solidify a clubhouse or a dugout when maybe those things start to rear their head again?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know the personalities of them, but I would think you lean on those veteran voices. Sure, Simeon is a leader of sorts, whether he's the vocal type or, there are different types of leaders. I got to put Grant Reynolds-Grichuk, I would think, would be in that conversation as well, just because he has been around longer than a lot of these guys. I know Springer is with the team, and that helps, but it's really hard to be an impactful kind of vocal leader when you're not playing. So I'm sure he's doing it in ways, which is great, and I'm sure that's probably part of the reason why he's with the team, because that's the part I wasn't understanding. He's been out so long that you'd think he'd be down in Florida rehabbing that injury, but he's with the team, so that probably can help. But, you look at some of these kids, and the more we watch Bo and Vladdy play, and even throw Gurriel, and you see how much fun he has in there. These guys have a lot of fun, and Bo and Vladdy, these guys came up together. And when you do that, there is a special bond there. I remember coming up in the minor leagues, and then when you get with your best buddies, and then you get to the big leagues together, like that you talk about team chemistry. Well, it's beyond chemistry. It's like you're ingrained, your family, and then of course they're doing so well. So you got Bo and Vladdy not just coming to the big leagues and doing it together, but they're both stars of the game already. So the veterans help, and I'm sure Simeon's voice has been wonderful. And I'm glad that they went out and got a guy like that, because remember last year it was like Travis Shaw, and I mean those kinds of you have to be more of an impactful veteran, I think, to help a young crew. And then, the other name I look at is Joe Panik. Very quietly, here's a guy that's won a World Series and a Gold Glove, and he looks so just so easygoing. But sometimes that's the demeanor you need when things go bad, just to make sure the kids don't go off the tracks a little bit, So I think it's a combination of the AG veterans as well as these kids. But I feel almost already, because like Bo and Vladdy are becoming stars at such a young age, that they're like, this is their team. This team belongs to them. And we'll see veterans probably sprinkled in here and there. Of course, Springer's long-term, but like a Simeon, Blue Jays might keep doing this along the way to complement this young core as they continue to learn how to win.
It's an interesting point. Ryan, I was just going to say, because I was watching Friday, and after the collapse and they get walked off, you'd think there'd be, you'd be sour. And I'm sure they were, but I know there was the one shot in the dugout, and it was Bo and Vladdy. And Bo had a smile on his face and said something. They both kind of shared a laugh. And I was thinking part of me was like, well, I'm shaking that off pretty easily. But you know what? both of those kids, if you will, man, they've been around the game their entire lives, right? Like it's in their blood. And yeah, it's one of 100 and a bunch that we play this year. It sucks that and then they came back the next day and they were better. It's to think that, yeah, these kids are so young, but they're already leaders just because how long they've been in the game and around the game.
Yeah. Any major league player, by the time you get to the major leagues and then spend some time there, you know that you have to be, as I described earlier, fairly even keel. If you're a hitter, you have good weeks and months, and then you can tank for a week or a couple weeks. As a pitcher, same thing, and that's why they know. But those guys, especially because they come from it, like you said, they were probably toddlers in major league clubhouses, right? And this, you know, many times in their lives they've probably been told by their fathers that, hey, stay even keel, don't get too high, don't get too low. Like it's just ingrained in them, and that's what I mean by that historical background and growing. That's truly called growing up in the game, but it's ingrained in them, and that's why I do think those types of players, of course, when they get to the big leagues and they're star players as well, but that's kind of where they separate themselves from others as kind of the total package, because those are those invariables, that others don't necessarily have. But yeah, they're quite the combo, and I keep referring to those two names because I really do believe this is their team, and I say it because they're the young core. And not to take anything away from those other guys that are contributing greatly, but with Simeon and Teoscar and Grichuk, this has to be the top best top five in baseball, doesn't it? It's been unbelievable to watch them.
Just a feel on Springer, any thought? I know there was a notion that he might have be ready for a rehab stint. I don't know if that's happened yet, but there's a thought it could have been this weekend in Buffalo.
My notion on him is I am so tired of hearing the update, guy.
Yeah, fair enough. That's where we're all at.
I'm sure you are, too, though. I'm sure you are, too. I mean, this was an oblique to start. Then all of a sudden, it's a strained quad is what I heard. And I'm thinking, strained quad? Like, what, did he tear the tendon off the bone? It's just gotten, like, it's gotten to the point where I know in terms of media, we hear people ask questions every day. I don't care if he's running. I don't care if he's between cones or running bases or in the outfield. It's like,
bases, outfield, yeah.
Communication.
Yeah, let me know when you're ready. We'll be here. Yeah.
I worked over with the Detroit Tigers for several years after my playing career, and that was Jim Leland's favorite line. It's like, look, I got a clubhouse of guys here. I'm trying to win a game tonight. When the guy's healthy and ready to join me, let's talk about him. But until then, like, not that you don't care about him, but like, you don't care about him. He's not helping you right now. But yeah, that's the way it's gotten for me. But now, all that being said, add that bat to this lineup when he comes back. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, last one for you. Manoah goes tonight. It'll be his fourth start in the bigs. What have you made of the youngster? It's a great story. It's early, but it's been a great story so far with the upbringing, the family, the stuff, and the tenacity.
Yeah, it is, and I was the first one pounding the table saying, no, it's too early to bring up a guy like this. I think guys should spend time at each level, you know. But he had a good one against the Yankees in his debut, which was awesome at Yankee Stadium. What a day to remember for him and for his family. Had a bit of a setback there against the Marlins, giving up a few home runs, and then better last time out. He'll be tested again against this lineup at Fenway Park in a difficult ballpark, but I think the fastball's been excellent. And he's not getting hit tons, but all three home runs he gave up against the Marlins were on his secondary pitches, the slider and changeup. So I'm finding those pitches to be exactly that. They're secondary. They're just not real sharp, that slider at times. And those are the pitches that can hurt you. I think the fastball has been great. It really plays. I find that the velocity ticked up a little bit again in his last start. I think it was down a bit against the Marlins. So that's a good sign. Maybe a little adrenaline rush at Yankee Stadium in his debut, and then a little setback against the Marlins, but the fastball is electric, and I think that he pitches up in the zone, and as we know in this game, we see a lot of pitchers pitch with some velocity up in the zone. It's tough to get to, so I think that's his bread and butter. I just hope he doesn't get hurt with those secondary pitches.
Well, Joey, the point you made earlier, you lose today, and you'll be leaving Boston thinking, how did we split this? I mean, we put up all these home runs, and we had even the 5-1 lead before we lost on Friday. You lose today, and it's going to kind of make you scratch your head a little bit, but still a pretty impressive run through Fenway.
Even keel, guys. Don't ride the wave too high.
That's right. Got it. Joe, really appreciate you, man. It's been a long time. Good to talk to you.
Hey, all right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Joe Siddle with Sportsnet. 5-1 lead Friday, you lose 6-5, and then you just absolutely blow their doors off. Like, yeah, win this today. Don't split.
Yeah, and less than just the feel of a series. It's like, this is one of the teams you're chasing for a playoff spot. And it would feel slightly disappointing if this offense couldn't get to the second season. I don't know that Tampa's a team that's going to be caught. I think Houston looks really good for a wild card club in that same division as Oakland. But here's a vulnerable Red Sox rotation. Keep punishing them.
And in there, too, part of it obviously being Manoah. He's going to be a big part of whether you win or lose. Great debut, okay second game, maybe little improvement in the third, but...
Yeah, better game three. I think you have good, bad, and... Or great, bad, and good is kind of probably how you describe the three starts.
It'd be nice to see him be really good today.
Well, and he battled, that's the thing. Like, even if he's getting hit, he's fighting hard, and if he's not got all his pitches, he's still finding a way. There's a mental toughness there, and there's just this ferocious approach where he's you saw him jawing
loved it.
With Tim Anderson of the White Sox, a mouthy vet that's known for that. And like, it's your third start in the bigs. Oh, yeah, that was down the middle. You want another? Okay. Like, that takes some stones. He's not shy.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr. coming up. We are halfway through the first match at Euro today. What do we got? A 1-0 lead for the Czechs over the Scots. It's not Scottish. It's Scottish. So we'll talk to Tommy Wheeldon Jr. about 8:25. We'll shift gears a little bit, talk some hockey when we come back, maybe, or something else. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Oh, hey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Coming up on Thursday, every hour throughout our broadcast day, we are going to be giving you a chance to get a little something for Dad, for old Pop-Pop. This Sunday is Father's Day, and Wild Rose Brewery going to help you perhaps hook up Dad with a little 12-pack of Wild Rose beer and a $50 gift card to the tap room every hour on Thursday. So we'll have details coming for you. Wild Rose Brewery, keeping quality beer and food in the hands and bellies of hardworking Albertans everywhere. Check out wildrosebrewery.com for delivery, takeout. Hit up the tap room patio located in the Curry Barracks.
You know, when we turn off the mic, sometimes you can just walk away and your day's done. But I'm going to be putting in some extra work for the station, pulling the rope. Tomorrow on the Wild Rose patio.
What does that look like? Just
well, we got a marketing person and some sort of a salesperson, and then the person that has to work the tap, and then the person that has to drive me home. So it's a big crew.
I was gonna say it's a lot of stuff there. I don't know that you're really saying much. But what is?
I mean, some people will talk about things that are important. I will have it travel in my ears, and then may remember some of it. Mostly we'll be listening to my tongue.
Did you not say something about tomorrow and France and Germany?
Oh, yeah, that's at 1 o'clock, yeah.
So when's the Wild Rose patio thing happening? A
couple hours after that, yeah.
It's impressive.
I like to ride my bike.
Right. How far is it from the Wild Rose? That's a short little bike ride for you, right?
That can be done in less than 10 minutes on two wheels with pedals.
Wow. I'd have to go down. It'd be a little longer for me. I'd be
getting
somebody giving me the finger on Crowchild and then Glenmore. It'd be tough.
You're closer to Fort McLeod, I think.
Get out of here. Bicyclists or cars too, damn it.
You could bike to the hitching post.
I could bike to the hitching post. God, I could go for one of those burgers. You ever been? Mm.
I haven't been for a couple of years. I think we did a show when I was on Afternoons from Nanton, from the old Alberta Marine.
Nanton. Hey, Riley, you ever been to the Hitchin' Post?
I have not.
Well, get
on
out
it.
Of here.
If you're a fan of burgers, you must go.
Well, and he's fishing a bunch, too. We can make this all one trip.
Well, he says he is. He talks a lot about going fishing, but so far he hasn't.
What?
I've gone twice.
Have you?
Yeah. Didn't go this weekend, like I said, I was going to.
Well, you're busy.
It's getting tired and hungover.
Yeah.
Once the Habs are done, I feel like the fishing's going to pick up.
Well, I had a buddy bail on me. We were supposed to go at like 7 o'clock, and he had too many beverages the night before and said no.
What kind of riffraff are you hanging out with?
Oh, that's a scary sight.
Oh, no. They're quality human beings.
You really? Because it sounds like you've really got some choices to make here. Better choices in life.
You leave a buddy hanging high and dry, fishing? Yeah.
High and dry.
High and dry,
I was very
dude?
Upset with him.
You were
call that a good friend?
Yeah. And then I just slept for 2.5 more hours, and I was less upset when I woke up.
See, this morning's starting to take a toll on the young man.
Yeah, I know. Should have seen him. He walked in this morning, then he walked out, then he walked. I thought he had forgotten something. He had to move his car. He seems a quart low. Little too much sun,
the eyelids open
too much sun, too much booze yesterday, Riley.
Yeah, definitely both of those things.
Why don't you have some water?
I have a bottle of water here.
Do you?
Drinking some water, yeah. I almost had a coffee this morning.
Almost?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know, I'm
weird.
Going off the rails here.
Call the authorities.
Yeah, settle down now. Are you very excited about today and the potential Board of Governor vote for the Canadian Football League?
What's going on here, Riley? You're three down watermelon head insider. What is actually happening here today? This is wild.
Well, I think they're voting on a return to play.
And, is it that hard?
I don't think it's very hard, no. And I think it'll be 9-0 in favor of playing. So,
yeah, and if it's not, I think you've got some serious issues because there's some very fledgling leagues without like $30 million TV deals annually that got things done last year.
Yeah, like almost all of them.
Like every league.
Yeah.
There will be a Board of Governor vote today. It's expected to be unanimous, even though it isn't unanimous behind closed doors. They will have a united front.
Sure.
Gotcha.
Toronto and Montreal don't want to play.
Yeah. The public message.
Why would Montreal want to play? They got the new owners?
New owners, yeah. I don't know.
Is that the word or is that firm? Like,
that's what the word is, I believe.
Yeah.
That those two are the ones that have been saying, eh.
And why would Toronto want to play? They're owned by the people that have the TV deal that makes money. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense either.
The CFL doesn't make sense.
But they've always been a disaster. It's like, okay, we lose $10 million on the Argos, and we make that back in the TV deal, no big deal.
I don't know if it's that simple.
So you tell me what the content they have is for 4 months if they don't have that league going four nights a week. Tell me what they're putting on.
I can't give you the answer. I don't know what that answer is.
So now you can understand why they're willing to own the Argos.
All I know is that it's okay to own a CFL team for the most part, except in Toronto. Or it's okay to run one, but you can't in Toronto because it's always like the biggest pimple on the hiney of the Canadian Football League.
You've definitely got to be willing to lose $10 million a year, which I think if you're a company with a market cap of like, you know, $30 billion, you can.
So they're talking about a shortened season, 14 games that will start when, right? Like, are we still talking about starting in
early August?
August 5th.
August. Yeah.
Well. July 14th, training camp.
Now, where's the whole topic of let's tie in the rock and use other people's money to run the league? Is that still going or what's that? What's the latest there?
As far as I know that they are still talking or were, they haven't come out with anything yet.
Maybe it's just me. The more I look at this league, the more I'm like, boy, these owners really don't like this league. Like, they want to do it with other people's money. Well, we don't want to play if we have a chance of losing money. And it's like, I get it. Like, no one likes losing money. But, like, you have franchises worth, you know, $10 to $20 million, I'd think, if you put them on the open market. Maybe more. And you will just sit and watch those values crater by not playing? Like, where are the people that will that love this league so much that they just want to see their teams play? Well, like there's an eight-team soccer league that managed to get something done last year with no TV deal anywhere near the size of this one and no fans in the stands. How did that league in its second year outclass this 100-year-old league with all these, well, I guess I'll cut another check, owners?
Well, I think it's a little bit – I'm guessing salaries aren't the same in the – in the soccer as they were in the Canadian Football League, and they did it in a bubble in PEI. This is not what they're looking at. This is it's a little bit different.
It is, but it's just like, look, it's the CBA they wrote. You're telling me the players had all the leverage and bent over the owners the last negotiation? No. They detached salaries from revenues. Like, this is your mess you made, owners. Live with it. Because the fans are the real people getting punished here, not the people worth hundreds of millions that might have to write a check. Screw them.
It's a tough spot because you feel like the sport, at least the Canadian Football League, is already, you know, in not in peril might be exaggerating a little bit, but it's not an overall healthy league. It's strong in some spots and really not strong in others. And how do owners, well, their chances are they're multimillionaires or billionaires, and how do they get to that? Well, probably not by spending foolishly. And it would feel like out of all of your portfolio that you have in your business, the Canadian Football League, that would probably be the not your moneymaker. And if it's going to cost you a S ton to run it, and you don't know if you can have fans, and you don't know what your revenues are going to be in terms of, I mean, you got your TV deal, I guess. You always go back to the TV deal.
It's big, but it's lucrative, yeah.
If all the teams are kind of in concert saying, maybe certainly last year, this year's a little bit different because you could probably get some fans in there now. But I don't know.
It just seems like they're more interested in the bottom line than the sport. And that's maybe not uncommon, but it's just sad for such a diehard league. And
And it wouldn't, you know, be all of them, right? Like, that's not going to be all of them, but it's certainly the case.
No, the community-run teams are not the case, because the community-run teams aren't owned by millionaires and billionaires. They're community-owned. And so that's, you know, like Winnipeg and Saskatchewan. You don't worry about those teams. You don't worry about Edmonton, I don't think.
I don't think you worry about the Stampeders either. I think the Stampeders.
I don't know. That owner certainly cares a lot about the bottom line. I know the organization is a great one, but the owner I worry about a bit.
I think you have it's a different story in Calgary than it would be in Montreal or Toronto.
Be happy to cut a big check? You just told me about guys making a lot of money.
What I'm saying is, I think if there were losses, I think they would be less than they would be in Toronto.
For sure. I agree with that, yeah.
I think you have a fan base here, and you have a history and a core fan, like I said, a fan base that's going to support it. And yeah, if you are going to save this thing, you better start playing. And it does seem silly, man. Well, 14 games is not silly, but when are they playing the Grey Cup?
Oh, yeah, December something.
December outside.
Got it. Yeah. We'll just go right on the shores of Lake Ontario in December. Yeah, but, again, it would be better than not playing. I'm not going to criticize them for putting a plan together to play. It's the opposite that's infuriating. When you have fans and players ready to go and the owner's like, I don't know. Maybe don't own a pro sports team if you're not willing to fight through the lean years. Because there's been good years here. That new TV deal is legit. Like, they get a check quite a bit bigger than their entire salary cap every year from TV. Not a lot of leagues of their size can say that.
How have you handled it, Riley? Because I know you're a big CFL guy. How have you managed the last year and change?
It's been tough. I enjoy the CFL game. I like going to games, and I just kind of watch every other sport play instead.
And you've filled that hole in your life with boozy slow pitch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Drink some water, by the way. Jeez, you look terrible. Some water in you.
It is freezing on this side.
I was going to say, you've put on the sweater.
Yeah, the magical itchy sweater.
He's got the big itchy sweater on there,
with
Pinder.
With sunburn underneath. That's a good
match. But the fan just constantly blows in here.
It does.
And I have shorts and a t-shirt on, and I should have known to bring a sweater. It is just awful.
Like, literally, from where I'm sitting, I can't see Riley, but I can see in the room, and there are the schedules and stuff that are posted on the wall. They're, like, flapping in the breeze. It's like sitting, if you were sitting outside, you're basically doing the show outside. Meanwhile, it's...
Yeah, and the thing is, they come and check on it and say they're going to fix it every day for the past 2 weeks. The constant fan.
Yeah. But,
and the roof tiles are lifting in here because the air pressure is so high.
It's true. I could show you a picture I have of there's about 6 or 8 tiles in here. Like, 2 of them are angled up. There's been so much air blowing through here, they're knocking the ceiling tiles.
And when you open the door, the tiles fall back down.
Testing on them?
I don't know. It's, you know what I think it is? I think it's probably the asbestos.
Right.
You know, it's an old building.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We got Tommy Wilden Jr. coming up at about the bottom of the hour. We'll break. I'm going to run, do a thing, see a guy about a horse, and then we'll come back.
Horse.
And we'll talk, of course, we'll talk about the Islanders taking...
Wow, a horse, Steve.
The 1-0 lead over Pinder's Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday.
Dean, a horse?
Of course, of course. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, dear. Spoiler alert.
Yeah?
Scotland.
Did you see that goal?
I did not. I was upstairs.
Good Lord. That was wow.
2-0. Czechs out in front of Scotland. Did you see the email we got over the course of the weekend? A hard...
Yeah, all caps.
A hard from the Rocket, which is more just a forwarding of an email, which is what it ends up being.
But usually it's like, oh, did he forget about all caps? This one you knew he meant it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like hastily ripped off in 9 seconds. This was a meant to be all capped email.
Yeah. Do not. Rules are pretty tight. sends out the rocket at 1:41 on Friday. sends out the email. Now, because there are things, it's called rights holders. We are a rights holder for the Calgary Flames in the National Hockey League.
The Blue Jays.
That allows, yeah, and the Blue Jays. That allows us to play Flames and NHL games and highlights and whatnot. Other places are not allowed to because we pay for those rights. Now, there is another company that pays for Euro. The Euro, the soccer, so you can't play any audio. Mm-hmm. So the Rocket sends out an email with an attachment, which he knows none of us are going to open and read.
Right. Yeah, correct. Yep.
Rules are pretty tight for us in radio, so everyone is aware. Read the attachment. Then knowing that no one is, sends another email out a minute later. To be clear, we can't use audio from Euro in updates or reports. Okay, got it. Can't use. So we will not have the highlight from that 2-0 goal. Apparently.
Maybe we could just go back to the Iceland acid vat and pretend that that's every goal in Euro.
Now, can we do that? I think we could probably pull that off. Now, it's not...
it was a World Cup like 8 years ago.
Yeah, so this morning, I'm not sure what minute, but the Czechs took a 2-0 lead over Scotland.
Elvig, 3-2, and me, for the team, and me, yeah!
You ever made that noise in your life? About anything, good, bad, or otherwise?
That's what the noise I thought I'd make ahead of the vasectomy, but it actually wasn't that bad.
Now, did Iceland win anything because goal? Like, was that the championship? And now we've won the World Cup.
No, but again, they had like firemen and fishermen and accountants on their team. This was not a powerhouse like a group of dudes in a tiny country that were knocking off global powers beyond the qualification round. I love the dudes. There you go.
Yeah. Game number one yesterday between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders. That 1 o'clock local time start on a 30-degree Sunday afternoon.
I mean, to be fair, I think it's like 47 degrees in Vegas right now, so maybe that's a great time in the southern states to put a game on.
Because it's
in Tampa, it probably wasn't pleasant at 3 Eastern yesterday.
Just swass?
Yes, heavy. More swass in Florida than the desert.
There were 14,513 at Amalie Arena as the Tampa Bay Lightning dropped game one of the Stanley Cup semifinal match to the New York Islanders by a score of 2-0. Matt Barzal got his fourth after going with 0 goals in the first 8 games. The heat started on Barzal. Oh, if you're a superstar, you should be where are you now? So regular season, you can't do it in the playoffs. Well, now he's got 4 in his last 5. Ryan Pulock had the eventual game winner, a bad goal on Andre Vasilevsky. We don't see it often, but it was an S-burger. Shot from the point, good shot, heavy shot, but no traffic, and he just whiffed on it. For Pulock, his fourth of the postseason, had 2 in the regular season. He's got 4 now in 13 games.
It's clutched in.
Yeah.
Either that or he wasn't trying in the regular season. Maybe if he just told himself it was the playoffs, he would have scored 20.
Well, it was like Carey Price. He was saving it up, right?
That's right, yeah.
Why go all out in the regular season when it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
I mentioned to you earlier, and I have the deets for you, because I know you love the deets.
Love deets.
Do you love the deets?
Let's keep some mosquitoes away.
I love the dudes.
Deets. Semyon Varlamov picked up win number 4 in a row. He came in last round and picked up 3 there, obviously the final 3, and then now it's 4 straight. So both he and Ilya Sorokin, each of them have a 4-game win streak in the playoffs. And we're 1 game into round 3.
Decent.
It's happened twice. This is only the 3rd time it's ever happened. It happened back in 1980. When Pete Peters and Phil Meyer teamed up to do that for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Peters and Phil on the Philadelphia Flyers. Like
Phil Meyer.
Name tandem in net. That's unreal.
Well, come on. You know Phil Meyer. Hell of a guy. Great guy. Heck of a guy.
Start the food chain.
And prior to that, Eddie Johnston and Jerry Cheevers did it in 72 for the Boston Bruins. Now, what I don't have is...
Cheevers a few years ago. He's a beauty.
You who itch?
I golfed with him like three winters ago. Love him.
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z.
For the Tampa Bay Lightning, first time this playoff they have trailed in a series. So we'll see how resilient they are. Testing their resiliency. They won last year in six games, so that's still possible. They can win in five, six, or seven, the Tampa Bay Lightning can.
Sure could, Dean. Yeah. Tough to win in four.
And that 1-0 lead, I told you earlier, 1-0 series lead, the team that has it has gone on to win the series 68.7% of the time.
Well, that sounds great. You take the others, I'll take the Lightning, and I get 2-1 odds.
2-1, 1-2 in the power play with the Lightning. That's also key. I think you can talk about everything else, the face-offs and Barzal and all this. Don't take penalties.
New York Saints.
New York Saints. I love, well, I shouldn't say I love because I kind of don't care. But I do enjoy the fact that Cassidy got ripped for that.
That the fans embraced it and totally embarrassed him? Yeah.
I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders.
It's just kind of, I love Ryan Whitney on Spit and Check. He's like, that's the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my, the Saints. Like, it's not even a burn. It's like, oh, okay. Wow. Good rip job. I'm crushed. You call us the Saints. Way to show those officials. And got fined $25,000 and then lost.
I like it.
Good job. So game tonight, 7 o'clock on your radio.
Why are we eating sandwiches? I always get hungry this time of day, but we got to put this on the calendar.
I know you do. Yeah, I know. Well, you're patioing twice tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's busy.
I still don't understand how this is working. How do you roll? Like, my kids are older, and I would think more able to kind of fend for themselves.
Well, I got a soccer coaching tonight, Dean.
And I don't have...
Assistant coach tonight.
...the time for two patio runs.
Assistant coach on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Got to load them up. Pick your spots.
Okay. But tonight, the Habs and the Golden Knights. Everybody... Now, is it... I shouldn't say everybody. Heavily favored. Is that fair to put it? Heavily favored?
Yeah, not unlike the two prior opponents of the Habs, to be fair.
To be fair.
To be fair. I say that all the time now. That sucks.
Yeah.
No, Leafs were one of the heaviest favorites in round one by most models and or expert predictions. A lot of people had the Jets. I did not see much in the public space of the Habs are going to win this. So, yeah, of course the Vegas Golden Knights are heavy favorites. The team that was expected to be beaten in round one and round two is their opponent.
And the highest
for the President's Trophy. Hmm.
The highest ranked team coming in is now playing the lowest ranked team advancing.
Right.
So, and they came into the show, it came into the playoff regardless. No one had fewer points.
That is correct. They don't make the playoffs at that point total in another division. Right. Not to say that they wouldn't have had different records in other divisions, but it is lopsided when you look at their regular season data. But give the Habs a 1-0 lead and watch them box out and let Carey Price do his work. And, yeah, I don't know. I think we could have a series.
And now Riley Pollock is on record. Now, he's also on record as somebody who's drunk a good part of the day, but has also come out. He called a sweep last round after a Game 1 win by the Habs.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't need to see a game this year. Has already called the Habs in four straight again. Would you say, Riley, would you call this a team of destiny?
I would, Boom. These are going to be the guys.
Yeah.
This is the squad that's going to give me my first viewing of my favorite team winning the Stanley Cup.
Ben Sherratt will never have to buy another beer in Montreal again.
No.
Yeah.
First time since 93, you know, they won a cup about 2 weeks before I was born. So I've never seen
it. Jeez, you are a puppy dog. Now, who won that Suzuki Pacioretty deal? Remind us, Riley.
The Montreal Canadiens. And they're going to continue to win for the next 12 years.
Kind of looking that way, to be honest. Like right now, it's kind of a push between those two players, never mind Tatar and the second rounder they got, and the factor in the age and what lies ahead for the young centerman, and I kind of agree with him.
The trade was Suzuki, Tatar, and a second. And if I'm not mistaken, Vegas probably, if you go back, Vegas took Cody Glass at 6 and Suzuki at 13.
Like first that, ever draft?
If you were Montreal, and I'm just guessing, going back, would you not have wanted the Cody Glass over Nick Suzuki, who was picked 7 picks sooner, right?
I don't know. I do know that they're deficient at center. I'm not sure if Glass is center or wing, but if they're both centers, then you probably want the guy with higher pedigree, and it was, what, 2018 when the deal was made, so I don't. I won't take umbrage with that.
Glass
suggestion.
Is a center.
So there you go.
So I just you talk about things working out for you.
It was September 10th, 2018, that deal was done.
And weird that Tatar just didn't fit in Vegas.
Yeah, because they ended up, what, adding him at the deadline from Detroit for a first, a second, and a fourth?
Paid big
like
to get him. And
he was healthy scratch for half the playoffs.
And played a style that you would have thought would have tailored fine to how Vegas was playing.
They're an expansion
up-tempo,
team.
Fast.
Yeah, how does, they could use a little skill, right?
How do you not fit in there? But Suzuki's been dynamite. And if you had to guess, it's going to look good for Montreal for a long time. But if Vegas wins, then you don't care.
Well, yeah, it was always a present for future swap, you know. So if they can hang a banner in Vegas, they won't care. And if you're in Montreal, like, yeah, well, we weren't going to win with Pacioretty, so we like the deal too. It could be a win-win very easily here.
Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock tonight. Game one.
Radio. Sportsnet West.
That's right.
ABC.
So will you be watching this, Riley, or do you have some wiffle ball championship tonight that you need to be at?
No, I'll be watching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although Wednesday...
Oh, dear.
Matt Rose needs some help filming some stuff for his podcast that he has on the golf course.
Oh, dear.
So we're playing 9 on Wednesday, so I'm going to miss the first period.
You're going to be a mess on Thursday morning.
You know what you tell Matt Rose? Take a hike.
Beat it.
It's round 3. My team's in. Sorry. Extenuating circumstances.
Team of destiny, Matt. Push it off.
Right.
Next week, once we win in 4, I'll have time. Going to be sitting waiting for the Islanders and Lightning, right?
Riley's a disaster next door today.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Monday. Look, he can't even. There's heavy sighs. He's wearing the pheasant sweater. He's cold, but he's hot.
It feels like wearing hay.
It is
the worst sweater.
Dehydrated. Yeah,
he's sunburnt, wearing an itchy sweater.
Yeah.
Have a day.
Sucks, but I'm so cold.
8:27, we'll come back. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. will join us, our Euro and footy expert.
20 minutes left in the morning match today.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for us.
2-0 Czech Republic, and the Scots cannot buy one. They had just players diving all over, remarkable keeper saves. It's been something, quite a show.
Tommy, when we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
:34 as we come to you from the downtown studios, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls, proudly owned and operated from Western Canada since 2008. Maintenance, instrumentation, community. It's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Eric Francis coming up in the 9. But first, let's talk a little footy.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr., our footy expert, joins us here on your Monday morning. How was your weekend there, fella?
It was full of football, my friend. How was yours?
Well, probably less full of football than yours, but I did catch a bit. And you know what? We haven't talked a lot about it this morning, but a horrible moment, a near tragic moment, but you cross your fingers now and hope that it's maybe a moment of inspiration and learning as Denmark, can you describe the scene that we saw over the weekend?
Yeah, and do you know what? We were training with the Cavs, and I got a text from my wife, actually, just as I was leaving the pitch. And then as soon as I get home, you know, I look at the highlights, I look at the social media, and I tell you, I was choked up watching it, because that's just, you know, we all care about the games and our jobs and, you know, getting through this COVID. But when it is near life or death, I think it puts everything into great perspective. I mean, credit to the Danes. I mean, how quickly their captain responded, how quickly the medical team, how quickly the referee responded, because, you know, had it not been within those seconds, those pivotal seconds to resuscitate him, you know, we could be mourning the passing of a wonderful person and a wonderful player. So, I mean, let's hope that he's on the road to recovery now. But yes, that, I think you just put it right. It's a learning experience for us all. On the back end of COVID as well, we don't know what's going to transpire from this. And yeah, we've got to be on our best behavior.
Yeah, I mean, just incredible world-class athletes, but still some things go wrong. And you know what it is? It's because Christian Eriksen, who had cardiac failure on the pitch, for those that don't know, and it seems like he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you were able to have to be tested like that and pass the test, you because now you can make sure that defibrillators and all of the health, not restrictions, but just everything that you need in place. You would, of course, double and triple down on that today after something like that happens. But to have been able to save the man's life, literally, the doctor said he was gone. To be able to save his life and show that you were prepared and ready for such an event is tremendous. So it would have, obviously, it would have been a horrible, horrible story. But it's maybe something, like you say, of inspiration. What else? Here we are. We're now heading into day four. We'll talk about this morning's match here in a bit. But take us through the first few days, just the single match on opening day. But walk through the weekend with us.
Do you know what? I think the opening game was a brilliant tone setter. Really, I thought the Italians were good. I thought the Turks tried to contain them for the first half and kept them at bay, but maybe the Turkish coach got a little bit too ahead and tried to think if he could change it and hit them on the counter, and that just opened things up for the Italians. And I thought they were absolutely sublime, really. It was one of the top performers. I know we've talked about them as the, you know, a bit of an outside bet, but having put that performance in and seeing what the Belgians did as well, you'd put them as contenders now. They've just got to build on from it now.
So the Dutch yesterday were not boring. I was talking about it with some other supporters on the weekend that the old Holland club with the big superstars and all the egos might not have had the will to come back after they watched a 2-0 lead in the second half disappear against Ukraine. But this group did. Maybe if there's a little less skill, maybe there's more cohesiveness with this group. Is that fair?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, because we talked about the loss of Virgil van Dijk, but then you look at the loss of Matthijs de Ligt as well. That's two pivotal centre-halves. But maybe that's right. Maybe the egos have been put aside. I mean, Memphis Depay, like we said, is having a bit of a re-emergence as a top player. But they're young. You know, we forget that in 2019, this was a group. There's a lot of the Ajax players that got them to the semis of the Champions League. So they've got quality there. I mean, you would have thought, you know, a 2-0 lead, they could have held on to it. I think this tournament, always, any tournament has to have a bit of magic when it matters. And you look at what, you know, when they're comfortable, and then Yarmolenko scores that worldie, which up until today, well, it was only yesterday, but up until today was, you know, arguably the goal of the tournament so far, until Patrick Schick, you know, scored against Scotland his second goal today. But I like them. I like Dumfries for the Netherlands. I thought he was pivotal. His assist and his winning goal was important. But, I mean, man, that was probably got a game of the tournament so far, I'd say.
You happy with the English?
Very.
First time they've won an opening Euros game. Usually it's a tie or a loss. And I mean, let's replay it that, you know, 3 years ago, this was the World Cup semi-finalist, and Croatia, a good side. You know, they were the World Cup finalists in 2018. A good side. This, you know, linchpin is still Modric. They have changed. I do think England are better, and I don't think Croatia are as strong as that group that got to the finals. But still, you know, I thought we opened well with Phil Foden. I thought he had a decent game. And then tactically got it right, because there's a lot of question marks about playing Trippier, who's predominantly a right back with Atletico Madrid, playing at left back. But, you know, everyone's up in arms thinking why, you know, we've taken, originally they'd taken four right backs to the tournament. Trent Alexander gets injured. But now it shows, because he is one of the best 1v1 defenders. So, you know, a lot of tactical chess matches here. And I thought, you know, people saying, you know, Raheem Sterling hasn't had a stellar year, but he scored 16 goals for a Premier League championship win inside Man City. I mean, that's not a bad off year. And he scored when it matters. So I think they did well. They just got to build on now, because, as you know, Czech are showing now, you know, they're no pushovers. So it's going to be interesting going through to the next round of games.
You mentioned the incredible goal in this morning's game. It is still 2-0 Czech Republic with about 8 minutes before stoppage time. What have your takeaways been between the Scots and the Czechs?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a pretty much a simple, like an easy, you know, matchup, because they were both nullifying each other. You know, the Scots were putting in a ton of crosses and not getting on the end of it. And then the Czechs put in a cross, and Patrick Schick, who we talked about, I think, on Friday, got on the end of it. And then literally the Scots have come out second half and had a right go at them. The Czech keepers made a ton of good saves. And then, my God, the best goal so far. You know, Patrick Schick's just an opportunist. And he's hit a wonderful strike from just inside the Scots half to make it 2-0. I haven't got my eyes on the screen now, so I think last time we did this, it was a change in goals. But as it stands now, that is goal of the tournament. And, you know, they're going to be tough to break down, because the Czechs are playing Scotland in Scotland, and then they've got to come to England and play in England. So perhaps they're going to use that as an advantage to them and just, you know, batten down the hatches.
The other matches today, Poland plays Slovakia, Swedes, and Spain. What about Poland and Spain? How is there, just again, I'm just going off of kind of what I'm reading, but there is a bit of love, maybe not to win the whole thing, but just this is a good time for both of these countries.
It is, and I mean, I think we said before, any team that has Robert Lewandowski is your number nine has a chance, because the Poles are always extremely organized, tactically disciplined. But they've got a world-class striker, and in these type of events, you need to have that, and they've got it. Don't know too much about the Slovaks, really, to be honest, but any team from, you know, Eastern Europe are always going to pose a threat, because they're very, very tactically disciplined. The Spain, what's always surprised me now with this group is they haven't taken their full 26 quota, and with that, never named any, and it must be the first time in history, no ex-Real Madrid players, or sorry, current Real Madrid players in there.
Wow.
So it's a bizarre one, but they've got, you know, they're on a bit of a rebirth, and they do have some, you know, old heads in there, and Busquets pivoting the midfield. Koke's just won the La Liga with Atletico Madrid. They've still got a quality side, and then young Pedri, that seems to be the player that everybody's talking about is the next up and comer out of Spain. So I'm looking forward to a 1 o'clock one. I'll have to see the rematch after training of the Poles and the Slovaks, and then tomorrow it's your team, Boom. It's Hungary against Portugal.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's right.
Starving.
So hungry, yeah.
I think chicken and peri-peri, right? So
yeah, that's right.
It just whets my appetite.
No, Pinder is trying to get me out for France-Germany. Pour a bunch of pints down my throat. I'm very, I'm an impressionable young guy.
Yeah, he is very persuasive.
He is. Yeah, he really is. And I mean,
it's not a good little spot for any
My self-esteem could use a boost, so who knows. You mentioned the Cavs. How are things with Cavalry?
Good. We're getting into shape. I mean, it's been the longest preseason ever, and I tell you, it's probably the biggest challenge that we've had to get players that haven't played for so long to get together and match fitness. And then we're going to be inundated with games, which we're looking forward to. But yeah, it's been great. I mean, the sun's out now, so anytime the sun's out, we're either training at Spruce Meadows, you know, it just feels great. So for us, we leave on next Monday. We play on Sunday against York United, and every day now matters, because it's all geared up to that first game And then as soon as that first game's done, it's let's recover, let's re-energize, and let's review what we did past. And then we just keep moving because there's only a two-day turnaround between it. So it's almost like a bit of a tournament start to the season. And we got a lot of lessons coming back from when we did this with the Island Games. But the difference with now is this is the start of the season, not the whole season. So we've got a few strategies we want to take with us. And we've got a couple more sign-ins that we'll likely make this week to boost the squad. And we're happy with the way the squad looks.
I'd be guessing you don't have to worry about anyone going through the motions. There'll be some serious enthusiasm for a group that's played, what, 10 games over the last 500 or so days?
It's massive, isn't it? I think there was a stat that came out by the league. It was, what, 285 days between the 2019 final and the start of the 2020 season. And it's something similar, 280 between the end of the 2020 season and the start of the 2021. So I don't think we've ever experienced anything like it, but I would say it's credit to the league to show this ingenuity as a startup professional league in what couldn't be a worse time to launch one. We come through the back of that. We've learned some incredible lessons, and every season we've had so far has just been a different season to navigate through. And I tell you, we just can't wait to get back at Spruce Meadows and be in front of our fans. That is a connection that will be electric when that happens.
Tommy, good to talk to you, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the games today. We'll be in touch.
All right, enjoy the pints in France and Germany tomorrow, mate.
We'll try. Thanks.
Won't be hard.
All right, bye.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Good beers from Germany, Dean, and really nice wines from France.
Are there? Yeah.
Pick your fighters.
Well, again, I defer to you.
Yeah.
On the footy
Bavarian
and the
beer brewing laws. That's the
so if you were
old standard.
So what would you go with?
Well, I mean, I suppose if I was going to cheer for the Germans, which I may, I would start with maybe something lighter, maybe like a, I don't want to say the wrong name here. I would start with something lighter, and then I would move into some maybe Pilsners midway through, and then find something a little heavier by the end of the match. Really punch it at the end. Get your value before you
really, yeah.
To Wild Rose, yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were doing Wild Rose first.
No, the match is at 1. Got to work out in the morning. Napping Tuesday. So this is a tough week for naps. I'm laying it out here. There's a lot of appointments here.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll come back and a little what you want to talk about before we get to Eric Francis, who I almost called Ryan Francis for some reason.
Good Flames prospect.
Not a Flames draft pick, Ryan Francis, Eric Francis. Yeah. Not yet, anyway. Maybe a free
Francis
agent.
Francis is, I think he's working his way into the...
Get a PTO.
Free tickets to Sylvan Lake Gulls baseball.
Oh, is that right?
Well, we're talking to the GM for 20 minutes. I mean,
we've got to grease those skids. All right, stay there. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Well, buddies, it's about going to do it for our show today. Tomorrow we have the return of Stephen Brunt. Our buddy Adnan Virk will look back at Game 1 between the Habs and the Golden Knights. Not sure what to expect from Riley.
Actually, very, very excited and a little bit nervous for him.
Now, you've had a superstitious meal of sorts for each of Round 1 and 2. Last round, it was pizza pops and beer. What was it before? It was takeout burgers for Round 1. Do you have any idea what you're going to go with now here for Round 3?
I'm not sure yet. I am kind of craving a donair today.
Ooh. Be a lot of garlic if this thing goes 6 or 7.
Yeah, we'll see. I did buy a new box of Pizza Pops just in case. Just in case that's still the play. They're in the freezer.
So you feel like the effort you put in last round will be good enough against Vegas?
Well, I don't know. Oh. No, I'm going to put in a bigger effort tonight for sure. But if they lose... Mm-hmm. Then I have to go back to the pizza pops and a beer for game 2 for sure.
Yeah, quick pivot.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Now, are you thinking about your long-term what has to follow if it works, or is it all about just win tonight and get a new superstition going?
Yeah, win tonight and just roll. That's all that's on my mind. One game at a time.
So if you like bury a Mickey, a wild turkey, and eat three hamburgers, you got to do that again on Wednesday. You're okay with that?
Yes, yeah.
Oh boy.
I really don't want to do that.
I'm going to say this though. If you think pizza pops and beers are going to get you, if what you did a round ago is going to get you through this round, I think you're sadly mistaken.
I'd agree. Just step it up.
Much like your team, they need to elevate.
Yeah.
You need to elevate.
I know.
This is not the Mark Scheifele-less Jets they're facing now, Riley. We need to see more out of everyone on the team, including yourself.
I'd hate for you to just throw away a game one because you're not ready and you haven't thought about it.
It's true.
Taking things
for
granted.
Think that old superstition from round two is going to carry you? You might be down 0-2 before you know it.
No, I know. I can't. I can't do the pizza pops and the beer.
You know what,
one.
Riley? Figure it out. Why do we need to? You know what? Why do we have to be doing this for you?
Come on, buddy. Big day.
I don't think I can be hungover for tomorrow's show again.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your two rounds.
I think you can be. It's just how badly do you want to be?
Really? Would you trade a hangover for a big 5-1 Habs win?
Big win?
Oh, God. Yes.
All right.
Well, you just answered your own question.
Good talk. I'm glad. Now you got all day to set it up. Hit that button. Press the button and get after it. Wild turkey. Weird choice.
Jogging boat.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Jeep season is here with discounts up to $15,000 and 0% financing. Visit VarsityChrysler.com.
960-960. We'll do this quickly. Somebody trying here. You need to get elevated. Ha ha. Green Day joke. Well, you booted the Green Day. It's not Green Day, so I can't do it for you.
Probably
I apologize.
That's done.
Habs actually wanted Glass. The Knights said no and offered Suzuki.
Thank you.
What Boomer insinuated, yeah.
Yeah. I would guess if you were going in, you'd want, at that point, maybe...
2018. It's a while ago.
Yeah. You'd have wanted the higher draft pick. You'd wanted the...
Oh. Sorry, I just read a text here.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
Erdinger to start. That is so on point.
Okay.
Erdinger. Oh.
I'm a young, impressionable lad.
That's good beer. Start with the wheat beer and then move into the Dunkel. Oh.
Riley?
Yeah.
Come by Uncle Moe's Donairs on Edmonton Trail and we'll get you a Donair for game one.
Open. Oh my.
Open 11 to 5:30. Uncle
Done.
Moe's.
Oh dear.
Uncle Moe's Done. Do it right.
Just look for a 150-pound soaking wet fast food machine. He'll be coming in named Riley.
Now I'll be honest. I've had the Uncle Moe's. They've been delivered to the studio, and I've had an Uncle Mo Donair hangover. It might be much like the wild turkey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That feels like an insult. I feel like you're not
doing
Uncle
It's not
Mo
an
right.
insult. I'm just telling you, that's what you're dealing with. It's not messing around. So if you drill Uncle Mo's tonight for dinner, and then you come in tomorrow, six of one, half a dozen of the other as to what a hangover versus that feels like.
Can't believe you're disrespecting Uncle Mo.
I'm not disrespecting. I'm saying that's how good it is because you got to eat the whole bloody thing because it's delicious. And then you're like, oh, I ate too much. And then you're like, oh, there's some garlic in there. Oh, oh.
I will be there at some point this afternoon.
Yeah.
That seems like a good idea. I was thinking Donair.
You were?
We might have to roll with Donairs.
What are you wearing for jerseys? Do you have options here? I know you said you get the signed Beliveau or whatever.
I do. I have a long sleeve red shirt that was my away game shirt this year. And then I wear the Beliveau on big games, you know, like a game one and an elimination game. Mm-hmm. So that'll be broken out today. I have a white Carey Price as well. I was alternating hats for a bit. I have a gray Montreal Canadiens hat and a red one, but the red one's been rolling. So the gray one has stayed on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Stay hot.
So it'll be Beliveau jersey with the red hat and Montreal Canadiens socks.
It's going full reds today. I like it. Yep. That doesn't work. You go to the grays and the whites. Move along.
Never known more about Riley and what he's wearing and eating and drinking than in the last couple weeks, but I think we're all better off.
I'll tell you what I'm not going to be wearing is shorts into this building ever again.
Oh, dear.
Because that was a bad mistake.
I might have hypothermia.
Well, by all means, have a sandwich and put
sunburn.
Some meat on your bloody bones, kid. Jesus.
Uncle Mo will get you. Don't worry.
We'll break here. Eric Francis standing by and the Eric Francis Monday Show next. Sportsnet 960, The Fans.